My one-hour comedy special, The Machine, airs on Showtime November 11th at 10 p.m. That's right, everybody. I am very pleased to announce my one-hour comedy special on Showtime, The Machine, airs 11:11 at 10 p.m. So do me a favor. Spread the word, tell your friends, set your DVRs, put it on your post-it at work, tattoo it on your arm, watch it in your machine shirt that you can get at BurtBurtBurt.com, and tell everyone The Machine, 11:11 at 10 p.m. Hey guys, brand new podcast, and it is Bert Kreischer. Whoa, I am solidly buzzed. I've been out in New York City. I just left Robert Kelly. He was on a podcast about five podcasts ago. We were having cigars down in Soho. Man, I love New York City. I really love. This isn't a long intro. Don't worry. It's just a touch base intro about what a great week I've had. I forgot how much fun it was to be on the East Coast. I had a fucking blast here. I did a lot of press. Obviously, I'm promoting my hour special, The Machine, that airs 11:11 at 10 p.m. on Showtime. So please tune into that. I did OP Radio. I did Jim and Sam. I did Bonfire. I did The Raw Report. I have a playlist coming out on Classic Vinyl that is my classic songs that I actually am probably most proud of anything, because it's the songs that made me drink on airplanes. Fitting, because I am solidly buzzed. I am having, I'm in such a great mood. I'm flying to San Francisco tomorrow morning, shooting out there, and then I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas, to do Mermaids. I hope you guys come out to that. I hope. Oh, I bought a salad today. I bought a salad. I just murdered pizza. I fucking love New York. I really do. I went to the stand. I went to Stand Up New York. I did Race Wars. It was a fantastic week. That's all the promo you get. Not you get, but I mean, I'm not going to bore you with what dates. You know the dates I have coming up. Tampa and Dayton. Dayton's my week or my birthday on November 3rd. And that's it. Today's podcast, I'm going to preface it real quick with the fact that the guy's Kurt Metzger. You know who it is. Kurt got into some beef with some social justice warriors, and it trickled into Amy Schumer's life, and then it kind of went viral. It definitely went viral. It went more viral than anything I've ever been a part of. And we talk about this on the podcast. The only reason I say that is that we were at a bar where the music was playing and we could barely hear each other. And so we were talking loud. So if it sounds like we're shouting at each other, it's just because there's music playing in the background and you can't really hear it. I listened to a little bit of this and I was like, oh, you can't hear the music. But it's a great podcast, man. I will say this wholeheartedly. I've known Kurt for 17 years and he's one of the most important comics around. The way he writes, the way he thinks, the way he takes stances is important in this business. He is against all the right things, I think. And sometimes, and he'll admit this, he doesn't use the right verbiage to explain his points. And he has come clean about every time that's happened. But he is he's on tilt, man. And that's what I love about comics. If you love Patrice, then you definitely should love Kurt. And we'll talk about that in this podcast, because that was one of the very, very few people Patrice would ever go to is Kurt. He'll say this in the podcast, but it's important that you know this now. If you like your favorite comic, realize that Kurt Metzger is written for them. He is an original thinker, and he is not afraid to stand on an island by himself and fight wars that he believes in. And then the way I look at this country and what's going on, that's very important. And I'm proud to know the people that fight both sides of that war and to call them both my friends. So half in the bag after a beautiful My Father cigar with Bobby Kelly, doing a bunch of press. By the way, I also did You Know What, Dude. I also did Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. I also did Skanks for the Memories. Go not Skanks for the Memory, it's my bad. Legion of Skanks with Big J. Big J wasn't there, but, you know, whatever. It was a full week of press. And if you want to see me crying, go to Opie Radio on YouTube, and you will see me crying full-blown. Once again, my hour special airs 11:11 at 10 p.m. I'll always put that in there. I'm very happy. I'm very happy right now. I'm mostly happy because my flight doesn't leave until 2:30 tomorrow. Fuck yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Kurt Metzger.
This is
Do you feel like do you feel like your feel like your vision's gotten worse?
It's sucked forever. So I just,
for real?
My lens prescription hasn't changed.
Hello, you're talking that mic? I'm this one.
How do you do this, by the way? Do you charge?
What do you mean?
Oh, are you good for Wednesday?
For what? For Race Wars?
Yeah.
What time?
7 to 9.
Maybe, yeah.
Sam, New York.
Yeah, maybe. I got to do, yeah, I think that might work.
Okay, cool.
Let me make sure. I'll make sure. I'll check after we get done this.
Okay, let me just see.
All right, guys. I am in Jake's saloon. If it sounds a little loud, I'm here with Kurt Metzger. Kurt went to go charge his phone. That's his microphone. I have a cocktail. Kurt's drinking water. He's got a pack of Parliaments on the table. This is journalism at its best. There's three plates. We're in a back booth. And we're started. Here, talk in that mic and make sure the levels are okay.
Check, mic check, 1, 2.
Nice, nice. I listened to the podcast you did with Ari. I fucking loved it. Here, I'll put this over here.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, Ari's podcast is good, right?
Ari's, you know, I got to be honest with you. Ari's not a really good, like in life, Ari's not a good listener.
No, I don't know. Like, I have to think about that.
Like,
maybe.
Trust me when I say, I feel like I've known Ari for a long time. And like sometimes like he'll get so high and you'll just be like, you'll be like, he hasn't listened to a word I've said. I've done podcasts
before,
but he hasn't heard a word of it. And he was like, yeah, I got fucked
up. You know what
up.
It is? I'm as high as him, so, and I also am so overwhelming to talk to because I'm nonstop blathering, so I probably haven't been paying attention if he was listening or not.
No, but what is good about it is that sometimes when Ari gets too high, it forces the person he's with to talk, which makes for a really good podcast.
Oh, I didn't think about it like that. You might be right.
I got obsessed. What was the phrase you were calling people that was sucking the energy off your Facebook posts?
Oh, pigeons?
Pigeons.
I wanted
to introduce that to my daughter so bad.
I used to say civilians. You know Barry Crimmins?
Yeah.
So Barry hates
me. That was
me.
One of the coolest
what
fucking stand-up moments when Barry Crimmins like kind of got behind you and was like,
"Oh yeah, we're gonna tour, dude."
Really?
Yeah. Before I film my hour, I'm gonna wring some money out of it before I go fucking sell it.
Yeah.
So it's called "You're Making It Worse," Kurt Metzger. You're Making It Worse, which was already the name.
Yeah.
So it worked doubly well, and then Barry's. It's just me and Barry.
Yeah.
So Barry's like, "Well,
Louis just released his special on his site.
Did it come out finally?
It came out tonight.
Oh, it's a good special, man.
I get emails from Louis's fan site, and I always think they're from Louis personally. What's Louis want? And I'm like, oh. I was like, ah, fuck, every time. But it's a good, he's really done this business right, Louis has. And I mean, that sounds silly, because he's one of the best comics. But
He's a good businessman, I think.
With like the website, and with the mailing list, and with the, I mean, he just has kind of approached this, in a weird Kevin Hart, kind of, I'm obsessed with Kevin Hart right now. I'm going through massive Kevin Hart phase.
Because of his moguldom? I started with him, dude.
I know. Look, the thing I say, I always say this to people. I liked you, Big J, and Kevin for nothing. Like I didn't.
Right.
There was no gain in liking you guys. I liked you for who
Kevin
you were.
There was. Kevin was on his way up.
No, when I
mentioned
you guys, he was just. It was literally like you. Oh. Everyone, we were all just getting spots at the Boston Comedy Club.
He was, but you know what? Because I knew him probably better than you. He was already on it, dude. That dude is a businessman.
He was already on his way when he got...
He's not, like, any different than when I met him. He's the same dude. I mean, he was always going to be... That's not when I met Amy. You know, some people, you're like, oh, they're going to be, like, some kind of star.
Yeah.
He was like that. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I want to talk about Amy a little bit, because I think everyone's... It's so funny you've gotten paired with her like that, like anything you do goes her way.
Well, these people are fucking greedy.
What do you mean?
I mean, first of all, two things. One, I do whatever the fuck I want, so they know I won't crack. So yeah. Amy's got a book coming out, so she's got something to lose, you know?
Yeah.
Put it on her. Also, people weren't aware there was no show. Like, yeah. I wasn't her employee. There's no reason to even go to her.
Yeah.
Now, I wish I hadn't told her that to just do whatever your fucking coward publicist tells you to do, because I had no idea that would involve a Charlie Rose interview. Yeah. Okay. But the way I looked at it was like, I felt bad. I don't want her brought in because of my shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's not cool. And but, you know, it's on me because she asked me, like, what I don't know what to do here because they're, like, coming at me. And I was like, I'm like, falling on my sword like I'm Mr. Christian Martyr.
Yeah.
I think I told Ari that. Like, I want to convert to Judaism out of spite. For business reasons, I got to convert because I don't think about it right, you know?
Yeah.
There was no reason to sacrifice myself. I could have told her, tell them, I don't work for you. Why are they coming to you?
Yeah.
You know? She's, like, good to me. I you know, she asked me what to do, and I fucking said that, and I got to stand by it, I guess.
Yeah. And then that Charlie Rose interview was pretty...
I didn't watch it. Karen watched it. I didn't want to see any of it. I didn't want to see none of it, dude. I'm like, do what you got to do. I want to know. Now, it bothered me that... I understand she's busy. She don't have time to fucking... get into the nuts and bolts of some bullshit I did online. Do you know what I mean? But I don't like that getting summed up that I'm a troll, which I'm not.
No.
I go out of my own name and say what I think.
Yeah.
And I don't like that fucking, I'm the guy saying the point that's right here.
Yeah.
Now, whatever language I used that was harsh, that what happened was people took shit I said and lied and said I was shaming rape victims or some nonsense.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of fans that were like, even behind me, and they fucking got reaped. And it upsets me, man.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, you know? And so, if you didn't know what I was saying, you know, and thought I was saying something to hurt you, you're a fan. I don't want to fucking... Of course I'm going to apologize for that.
Yeah.
But I don't have to. Like, my career is not at stake, okay?
Yeah.
Which, that bugs me. That just the idea that I would be... Because I ain't playing that fucking game, man.
Yeah.
Like, where you hold something over me. And, like, if I feel like I did something wrong, I'll apologize for that. Now, the SJW playbook is you should never apologize for anything.
The SJW playbook?
Yeah, people have sent me a guidebook. I swear to God,
really?
There's a whole cottage. There's a cottage industry of this bullshit big sister with these little hall monitors.
Yeah.
I mean, they pretend they're commies, but they're more capitalist than anybody because they make their money this way.
Yeah.
So what they do is they go, ooh, a person with a credit did it. Oh, I'm going to make it into a thing and catch him. Now, I never thought my policy on Facebook was I won't say anything I can't defend.
Right.
Okay? I never dreamed that I would be in trouble for shit that I'm fucking right about. Okay.
Yeah.
That threw me for a loop.
It was interesting because when you came out on that, I went in. And I know that you've kind of backed up on this a little bit because of the guy's a little bit of a cheese dick. The guy's a little bit of a dirtbag. The guy
who?
That you were defending.
No. That's my problem.
You were defending the guy. You were defending the momentum.
What I'm saying is I don't need court evidence. You could tell your story.
Yeah.
A woman can't tell her story. Now tell me a story.
Yeah.
There was no story.
Yeah.
Somebody put UCB internal investigation has determined. Okay, now, I spoke with someone I do believe her as a victim who called me like at least 4 days in a row at the height of that shit. Okay, now, this dude, I ain't heard from his ass since the whole thing kicked off.
And you took
all
of the blunt.
Yeah.
You
I
took.
Think he's probably going to make some money off this.
That's what I heard. I heard he's suing UCB.
Yeah, and he's going to win.
Yeah, he's
going
to win.
Because I was right, morons. You can't just... Now, what's wrong with going, he's under investigation by UCB?
Yeah.
Why not say that? Why has it got to be a guilty verdict online? Because that's the libel. You can't just do that. Okay?
What you were defending against was lynch mobs.
Right, but they're not even good enough to be a lynch mob because I never even heard of one breaking off the chase to go get the guy who goes, I don't think lynch mobs are good. I never heard of that shit. Unbelievable.
I've never heard of that ever.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And by the way.
Guys, it's getting late. Why don't we get up early?
We'll
think this over when we're sober. Hey, fuck it. Let's get him.
And I also haven't heard of a lynch mob that made a rapist six figures because they're too fucking stupid. And they gave him a lawsuit. I never heard of that neither.
Yeah.
A lynch mob occasionally hung a rapist. Occasionally.
Yeah.
So this is children online who think this is a form of democracy. Okay.
Yeah.
This is how these fucking... Barry's right. Crimmins is a good guy, man, because he's a guy that really does real shit for victims.
Yeah.
Now, the victim that, who are, as I said, I believe is a victim.
Yeah.
I was like, please call Barry, like because he had just spoken to me. Then I went a little crazy with having friends call Barry. Because that dude really healed something in me, man. He was really something special.
What was it like?
I knew him before. I met him before that in Montreal.
No. Real quick, so that everyone is up to pace. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't know this story. But
you'd be surprised.
But UCB,
UCB didn't announce that shit. That wasn't them.
It was another person.
It was another person that was connected. I won't say how, but somebody connected to it.
There was a
got
guy.
Somebody got a little overzealous.
Yeah.
And I think it was in a private woman's group first, and then it got out.
Really?
I think that's what happened.
So there was a guy running open mics who apparently had drugged and raped two girls. And
It's the numbers bigger now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, the person I spoke to, they can tell the whole thing. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to blow up her spot because I really liked her, and I really you know, it was very kind of her to call me, man, because...
That was one of the coolest things in this whole...
Yeah.
I'll run through this so that you guys know. This guy supposedly raped some girls, and then...
He contacted me.
And word got out on UCB. UCB held an internal investigation. Then that internal investigation...
No, they did. Look, the reality is they didn't.
Oh, really?
Okay?
They just banned
that was just language. Yeah. What they did wasn't that bad. It was like they had counselors there. If you were a victim, you could go.
Yeah.
All that language, internal investigation... That was someone thinking. Now, a lot of the thinking with it was having an institution behind you so that other women who were victimized would feel safe coming out.
Yeah,
which is reasonable.
Very reasonable.
The internal investigation nonsense, that's just someone saying that. Okay?
Saying that so that it sounds official.
Official. And not understanding that, you know, a stand-up comic or somebody is like, UCB, get the fuck. You know, it's such a cult.
And
these open mic UCB people, that in their heads it is official, but to anybody else, you're like, shut the fuck up. What are you, SVU?
Yeah.
I was calling them UCB SVU. But that was, in fairness to them, that was not them saying that.
Okay, and so then it got out of control, and so one of the people leaked it, which is how it started.
From a woman's group. For the record, if you are a comedian who starts a woman's group for comedy, I know you're not funny, okay? Just, if you're the founder of it, and you maintain it, I know that you ain't good at comedy. Because let me tell you something, pal. Nobody makes alliances based on gender in this business. You make alliances because people are funny.
Yeah.
And then I watch what they do to funny women that I know. They throw them the fuck out of the group.
Yeah.
Okay?
That is very true.
You can talk to them, too. I won't blow up their spot, but I know a bunch of women who I find very funny who've been kicked out for not going with the group. So really what those groups are, whatever well-intentioned, I'm sure everyone in them... Now, some people are like my friend was telling me, she's just because she can't keep in contact with certain comics she likes that are female comics, and it's a way to talk to them. Fine. That's great. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But the thing of this is a woman's thing.
Yeah.
Is this is not, first of all, even rape and all, this shit is not boys versus girls. Okay?
It's not.
This is all of us versus rapists.
Versus bad people. It's good people versus bad people.
Right.
And you're right. And they've confused it so that it's boys versus girls.
Because there's a bunch of people that cannot do comedy. I mean, they'll never be able to, and this is how they make their way.
The truest fucking statement is that there are people who can't identify with anything out of their title of, like, fuck what you're saying, women's genders, study professor.
Anybody who gets behind their identity, and let me tell you something, man, every message I got, well, not on my I don't go on my fan page, but if you... On my personal page, I answered every fucking message I got, the hateful ones to the support ones, okay?
Yeah.
Or I tried to, man. I really did because I had plenty of downtime to do it. you know, and I had people that were like hated my guts that I just spoke to them.
Well, hold on. Let me real quick. Yeah. So to finish this up, so this got leaked, and then it came out online. It started to become
on
Facebook, an online lynch mob for this one guy. This one guy was like no trial, no nothing, just some things, and Kurt defended the idea that you can't have an online lynch mob.
I'm done with this shit, man. Now, with Cosby, I was like, okay, look. How else was this ever going to fucking happen? Because, you know, Janice Dickinson, I believed her when I saw her interview.
Yeah.
She said he fucked her in the ass, dude. She fucking said that on national TV.
Oh, that, yeah.
It's edited out. If you try to watch it now, the interview, they cut that out. But she said that shit. Now, I don't think she was saying that for her health. I don't.
Yeah.
And she's been trying to say that shit for years. and got muscle out of it.
Yeah.
And I heard people like, oh, I don't believe. Or look at her face. I'm like, she's had a million surgeries done. Her face doesn't make. Don't go by that. Go by the logic of it. What's she getting out of that? Okay? She's been wanting to say this shit. She was on Stern talking about it in the 90s. Okay?
Yeah.
So to me, that was like, I respect that. And that's a very detailed story.
Yeah.
That's something that could, that someone's counting on, you'll be humiliated, not tell, that she just fucking laid out. I got a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, when the person called me, I got a lot of respect for her to call me, because
that was out of this whole story, that one person, I want to be like, give her a hug and be like,
yeah, me
hey,
too,
you're
man.
A fucking badass.
That's how I felt.
Because you very easily could have just been, fuck Kurt, fuck him, but you very.
Well, she told me, she goes, he probably just needs more information.
Yeah. And
because
that
she's in a bad spot.
And that's not girls versus boys. That's good people versus bad people.
But
she saw that what you were trying to do was good.
But this is what these women's groups do. So that's who's her. That's the people surrounding her.
Yeah.
Okay? Because of, to help, to be her support.
Yeah.
But half of them are fucking morons, okay? Now, when she wanted to contact me. I contacted her through this person, who I won't say her name because she's beneath me.
Was this the food truck?
No, it's a whole. I talked to so many people that were.
I heard about the food truck person who kind
of. Yeah, it's called Feminist Happy Hour. It's out of Chicago. It's a podcast. Alicia, I believe, is a woman's name that runs it. And I called into that. And please take a listen. And you tell me if I'm not doing my best to speak with these people.
Yeah.
And the way I let this moron talk to me, I mean, I don't let nobody speak to me that way. But I allowed it because I really wanted to. Anybody that took me the wrong way. Especially if they're a fucking rape victim, I'll let them hear an apology.
You weren't against rape victims.
Of course not.
You were against lynch mobs.
I'm against groupthink, and I'm against this shit where we just decide. First of all, as I said, this is not boys versus girls. I mean, don't start this shit like you're a man, stay out of it, because this directly affects me.
Yeah.
You know, I already had one fucking disgusting blogger spread a lie about me that I'm some kind of domestic abuser.
Yeah.
Because of a comment that I made. About that I said I had criminally choked an ex.
Yeah.
Now, my ex, I spoke to my ex a lot about this, you know?
Yeah.
I'm friends with every ex-girlfriend I have to this day.
I know
she
this
goes,
ex.
You know the one? Not,
I think I do.
No, it's not Jessica Delfino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no.
It's the one I was with after. And she's like, listen.
I know this one too.
Yeah, she goes, listen, you're a comedian, you hyperbolize. You did not criminally choke me. I forgot that it wasn't even as bad as I'm, because this is how cult guilty I am about everything I do.
Yeah.
I over confess shit like a compulsion.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I make it worse than what it is. And she goes, you get so like hyperbolized about it. It wasn't even like that.
Yeah.
She's saying this to me. And I went, oh yeah. But the thing is, I never thought a random Facebook comment I made in the course of and by the way, this despicable person, Sarah Doyle, her name is, who goes by Sadie Doyle. She fucking was trying to get me because I dared. This is the prank I played on her when she attacked Sam Morrell. Remember the great rape joke wars?
I remember this.
So this is what I did. Now, I don't troll. I don't make fake profiles. So I don't do none of that shit. I don't do that. I think this is purely within the bounds of good taste and fun, and I don't see how she's. But I found out she's mentally fucked, so that's probably why. Okay?
Yeah.
And she's the one, I'm sure, who got the ball rolling with this.
Yeah.
Because the media doesn't report. They steal from bloggers.
Yeah.
Okay? And right now, it's a babyface heel where you're automatically babyface if you're the quote-unquote feminist, which you're not a feminist. You're just big sister. And if you're fucking the male comedian, you're the heel. That's just the...
Yeah.
The news media loves that. So fucking with me and Sam... Well, it was my idea, but Sam went with it.
This is one of my favorite... This
All
is one of my favorite Kurt stories because I was.
Yeah.
If you don't follow Kurt on Facebook, you should. Because you would have these.
Don't listen. Now you can follow me on the subscription page for Race Wars because I ain't giving it out for free no more.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
What I did was I said this person, Sadie Doyle, isn't real.
Well, hold on. Start with what happened. Sam made a rape joke.
Yeah, this is years ago now. He had some rape joke, which, I mean, it's not like it's some great joke, but it was harmless.
Oh, I fucking love you. Thank you. Another cocktail.
It was fucking harmless. And I'm getting sick of this shit that jokes are social. Jokes don't have morality. You don't have to be moral to be funny. That's not how jokes work, okay?
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes just saying the absolute wrong thing is very funny.
Yeah.
Now, here's just for people that are fucking civilians or pigeons, as I call you now. What Donald Trump said, that before I heard what he said and just heard other people saying it, I go, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
and then he grabs pussies. Then I listened to it, and I went, ooh, that's really weird and bad.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone say anything like that, which is funny because I've heard people say words like that all the time, and yeah. I have, but it was just how he said it.
Yeah.
It wasn't, he didn't sound like he was joking. It sounded like, my friend, trust me on this, I grab pussies.
Yeah.
Which is not the same as if you're trying to be funny.
Yeah.
If you're trying to be funny when you say something awful, fine. It's carte blanche. That's my motto.
It's the what Patrice said a long time ago, funny and unfunny come from the exact same place.
It's intent.
Yeah.
Now, I've been told, because I've talked to many, now one person was very nice I spoke to, the friend of this Alicia woman, whose awful podcast I did.
Yeah.
I go by the intent railing because I can't survive in their world. You can't get through three words talking to these people.
Yeah.
In this cult, this online feminist cult.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, I couldn't even survive in their world for 2 minutes. They're up your ass. You say two words and they're like, that was shitty you said. And you have no idea what the fuck you just said.
Yeah.
They're outraged. You haven't already learned their entire gender studies class that they teach before you came out of the house. But they're also too busy to, quote unquote, educate you. I don't have time to educate you. And by the way, this is a gender studies professor saying this to me. Well, what's your job then, sweetheart? You don't have time. Why? Because you work at a taco truck? You got to be at the taco truck? Is that why? You moron. And then to drag me over the coals, and then after that say, maybe I could be a gender consultant for you and Amy. Oh, so now you want to rifle through my pockets?
You wanted a job?
So you think you killed me, and now you're going to rifle through my pockets and take my shit? That's what you think. See, this is sick.
Gender consultant.
They're not feminists at all. I'm a fucking feminist. They're just big sister. And they wouldn't have come at Amy at all if they were feminists. They'd be proud of her for what she did, like I am. They'd be proud of her for making something out of herself in a game that's been a man's game for a long time, like I am. They're not. They're jealous. They refer to her as a cool girl. It's like an N-word for women, for other women.
Are you serious?
Just like I'm a bro. I'm officially bro comedy. Did you know that?
Yeah, you know I'm a bro comic.
I do comedy for bros.
I've been called a bro comic a lot.
Yeah, because you don't dress up like a fucking the narrator from Our Town in a seersucker suit. The stupid mustache. Is that why?
I know who you're talking about.
Summertime in Grover's Corners back again. Yeah. See, this is the most despicable part. You're one of the most honest dudes I know and one of the most, like... And you were friends when there was nothing to gain.
Yeah.
When you certainly have more going on than me, you were that kind of guy that was friends.
Oh, dude, I've always...
That ain't how these people are. They're in a clique.
It's about being in a clique, and if you say something, you get moved out. I picked my friends when I started comedy based on who I liked, and I had nothing to gain from anybody.
That's right, and I don't give a fucking shit, and that's the thing. I got a real aversion to that groupthink
because
I was in a goddamn doomsday cult my whole life, and I'm done with that. Yeah, you get disfellowshipped if you don't go along. So that's what this internet thing was. You're going to get disfellowshipped if you don't.
Connect with you immediately.
Yeah, disfellowship me right now, motherfucker. I don't need none of you.
Yeah.
This dipshit business needs me more than I need it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the shit I heard is like, oh, well, he's a head case. I mean, the shit I've heard agents say and all that. Go fuck. What that means is I didn't make enough money for some shitbag agent.
Oh, yeah.
Under my own name.
I heard an agent one time say about someone who's now one of the most successful guys I know. When we were young, he said, words out, guy can't act. And I went, how can you say that? You're not allowed to say that. Because that means that they could say that about me.
Yeah.
Like it's the same. It's almost. And if you want to
say why you can't say it? I've watched these fucking ticks, okay?
Yeah.
And my manager, Rath, I like him a lot. I really got to say, I'm not calling him nothing. He's a good dude, man.
Yeah.
And Andrew, my agent's a good dude at APA. I mean, it's not like
I love
fucking
Andrew.
Dumb. Yeah, so I'm not speaking out. But overall, it's an industry of fucking ticks, okay?
Yeah.
When you think of the work you have to do to get an agent. When it's like you could, look, I don't need you to do anything but book me where they already want me. I literally need you to get my money up and take a cut for yourself. And the shit you go through, like, to a parasite.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is your blood going to be really tasty? Because I'm used to getting fat off the tastiest blood. Come on, Tick. Will you please live on my scalp?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it feels like. But I like my people, so I'm in a good spot with that. But that's how they. But I see who you fuckers represent. Don't you ever talk about who's a bad actor with the garbage I've seen your industry ram down my throat as if they're the second coming. None of you is just. Colin Quinn said it best at the State of the Industry. If the industry was correct about who's going to be big or what's a hit, even 50-50, he'd give it to them.
Yeah.
They're not even right that much.
No. If you said to me, Amy Schumer would be the biggest comic. Listen, right. this is someone I hope this isn't talking shit about Amy, but like, my wife would call her and say, hey, we're going out of town for a month. Amy, come stay at our place. Take meetings in L.A. Enjoy the house.
Right.
Have time. Stay with my sister. She stayed with my sisters a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I thought I could get something from Amy.
Of course.
Never once
did I. You're not that type of dude.
I was married. Never did I think I was going to fuck her. Right. Never did I think I was anything other than.
I had a crush on her when I met her.
Oh,
everyone
had a crush on her. I mean, she's great. She's great.
Dude, being funny, I'm telling you, man. I never told you the Sadie Doyle thing.
Finish it. Yeah.
Wow, how annoying to start and never finish.
Sorry. I'm a horrible interviewer.
Well, I'm a terrible interviewee. so she got up, Sam. She wrote this whole blog about how repulsive Sam Morril is for this fucking nothing of a joke. He doesn't even do anymore. And that was the big rape joke wars of 2011, where we had all these fucking half an open micer from Portland through Seattle to San Francisco weigh in on how they don't approve of this and that and all this. So I cooked up this thing to just say that she's not a real person. I said, we're going to say she's a made-up character that me and Sam invented to make a point about free speech or something.
Yeah.
She's not real. The jig is up. She doesn't exist. Sorry to even make a joke like that.
It's the ultimate pull the carpet out from under someone's feet.
It's directly from this Jonathan Swift thing I read that he did to an astrologist.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Swift for being like the first like dickhead. Not on board with it, guy. Okay, so I directly was cribbing from that.
Yeah.
And then just for like a half a day, it went around Facebook, there's no such person as this. And by the way, Sarah, there is no such person. That's your fake name you use.
Yeah.
When you libel me. Scumbag. So this scumbag has had it in for me ever since then. Apparently, I got accused of making fake profiles of all this other shit that I don't do. I don't do that shit. Okay?
Yeah.
I later find out that I got all these shitbag fans who also turned on me when I wouldn't do what they wanted, go out in my name doing awful things. And if you're one of them, please stop because you're making problems for me.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the worst. I don't approve of that shit.
The thing that someone like Sadie or Sarah doesn't understand is that the trolls that we have behind us, sometimes we don't condone any of their actions.
I'm very vocal that I don't need you doing that for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't approve of it. You're not a comic. Listen, what I did was, I think, clever. To go fuck with somebody and try to pretend to be them, that you're a fucking idiot.
I had a group called Cogs of the Machine who attacked this guy for critiquing a show I did that wasn't even on the air. And they destroyed him. And he came literally crawling back. And he was like, hey, man, call them off. And I go, I didn't do anything. I didn't fucking do anything.
I'll vocally tell him not to do that, though. I mean, I couldn't be more.
But I didn't even know they were doing it.
Yeah, you don't know.
He came to me on a Sunday.
No,
Sunday morning.
Know.
And I looked at it and I read all the comments. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. They're killing this guy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Jesus. I was like, I don't know what to do, man.
Well, I know why. Because everyone thinks they're a comic. That fucking blogger does, the guy that critiques you does, the people attacking him do. They all think they can do your fucking job. It's like politics.
It's what you said is you think they like this business needs more you more than you need it, and those people believe that they need the business.
Oh yeah,
they need the business.
Why do you think they complain about where they're at? Wherever you hear this shit about, because number one, this thing of like if you're a white male in stand up, you have some kind of advantage. No, you don't. You're starting at zero, my friend.
It is not. There's.
You better be small. Let me tell you, you got to be funny. But if you're funny and like an Indian, you're going to the top immediately. Okay.
Yeah.
When I got to New York, and this is years ago when I met you, they were like
17 years ago.
So I'm almost 20 years in now.
Yeah.
I was told point blank they're not looking for white guys.
Yep.
Okay.
I was told move back to Florida.
Yeah.
Get funny and come to New York.
Yeah. And so I got no problem with that because I know their industry is fucking stupid. So I hope the stereotype about women aren't funny. I hope the stereotype becomes Kurt Metzger himself is never funny because that's great for me. Okay. Because it looks like I'm flying when I jump over the low bar you set. Okay. So if you had half a fucking brain.
Yeah.
If I was a woman in comedy, I would hope that stereotype never went away.
Yeah.
And that's just what I learned from the Chitlin circuit. Just playing for black people. The them thinking in the hood ass rooms I used to go to, them going, oh, this ain't gonna be good, and then and then you're just a little funny, and they can't believe it. That was great for me. Okay, So think whatever you want. I'd like to come in under the radar, okay? But with these people, they're not in it for stand-up. They're in it for the attention. Every shitty activist thinks they're a comic. That's their most of them. Everybody with a bullhorn that shows up to yell about something,
yeah,
they will tell you they are a comedian. That's what they think comedy is. It's like the people that, yeah, I could do that. Just a guy hurting people's feelings, right? But that's all of them think that's what. When if I fucking make fun of you, I'm going to make you laugh too, hopefully.
Yeah, that's my point.
They don't understand mockery, what mockery is. They don't.
This is going to sound a little, well, nothing's going to sound bad, but like, I don't like these agenda driven comics. It's like,
of course
it's like
not.
My only goal is comedy, is funny. I want whatever I say has to have a joke attached to it or I won't say it. There are a lot of things I believe about, I went through a big thing with Tom Segura about the fat shaming thing, and I learned a lot. And I was like, "Ooh, I can't talk about it on stage because none of it's funny." But I could easily go up and speak my opinion. But that's
if you have a good joke about it. See, that's your job.
But if I don't have a joke, I'm not going to speak my opinion.
Dude, Barry is, you know, that documentary about Barry Crimmins didn't do him justice. How funny he is, because it looked like he's more activist than a comic.
Yeah.
But I really admire. I met him because
I'm going to watch his special tonight on Louis's thing.
Oh, I already saw it. It's great.
Yeah.
And the title I gave him too, by the way, he took the title.
Really?
Yeah. Whatever scares you.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Whatever scares you, because that's, you know, it's like I had two guys walk out of the show last night. Two bros fucking walked out of my show, and they thought I was being anti-Semitic, and I was.
Dude, I deal with that dumbness. If you don't listen,
if you miss it, you're fucking lost.
So my sense of humor is, first of all, especially these lefties that attack me, I'm probably 90% on their side with shit.
That's what's fucking frustrating.
Especially feminists. However, because online feminism is a cult,
yeah,
you got to swallow the terminology. Any reservations you have, you put aside, because you're not Bert, okay? You're a white male first. Don't ever forget it.
That's fucked up.
And they want you. See, when I talk to you, I believe in equality. I'm very good to women, friend. Online, if you're a moron, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to talk to you like a dude that's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you some... See, what they want is you to look... Because of past history, I owe you some kind of subservience. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They want to see you on your knees, a couple of them, because someone hurt them, and they didn't work through their pain, and now they want you to be their monster. That's why... You think I was apologizing to these morons that were saying this shit about me?
Yeah.
They already didn't like me. I don't need you. There's people that like me that maybe didn't get what I was saying.
And there's no way they could start liking you. This food truck girl could never start liking you because she'd lose her agenda. Her agenda would be like her whole group.
Well, her friend was real nice. It's funny. Her friend is very nice. And I could tell they relate. So then this scumbag in the taco truck wrote an Esquire article after we got done talking.
Oh, that stinks.
And then cut her friend out of it. That, like, it was all her. That's what they do to each other. Because it's a mean girls club. It's not feminism. That's why you're dumb to join a woman's group. If you're funny, steer clear. You want to be friends with me because I support funny women.
Dude,
Amy Miller. I fucking defended out the ass.
Amy Miller?
You know Amy from Portland?
Oh, you just.
When this dipshit from Chicago was like, fuck, she did something I thought was good online. And then she had these trolls on top of her, and I was like.
Well, what did she do?
She somehow baited them and got him booted off YouTube for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then Breitbart wrote, and Joe Rogan wrote to Breitbart too. He didn't like this shit either.
Yeah.
Breitbart framed it as she's an SJW and he's a comedian. And she censored him. That's not what happened.
What was the joke? What was the
bit? I don't remember. You should ask her. She's funny. You should get her on.
I'll have her on.
She's fucking cool.
Amy, if you're listening to this, please, please hit me up on...
But she didn't... Listen, this is my own sticking my nose in, but I get mad at shit like that.
Yeah.
Especially when a non-comic...
But it's the same thing that happened in this thing, is that you weren't standing up for this guy. You were standing up
for... He called me first. Now, I should have known he was lying to me, but I've had my own experiences with someone lying about me. And I fucking was, you know, now this is what the apology was for, putting this shit up in anger so that someone misunderstands me. Not that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, I was not wrong on any level, okay?
Yeah.
I was a little too insensitive about, even like the folks when I'm like, go to the cops. It's not so much even about that. It's don't fucking, we're bypassing law enforcement entirely and now it's all about online. An unaccountable group, a woman's group is now the law. That shit ain't happening.
Yeah.
Okay? Go fuck. And here's why. Because you ain't good to women neither.
Yeah.
Okay? Ask any woman that's funny who's been in one of them groups how they treated her. Uh-oh. It's a mean girl. It's a clique. See, there's no... There is absolutely no sisterhood whatsoever, which honestly is kind of a good thing about women. I know it gets said negatively about females,
yeah,
right? That they're like, will stab each other in the back in a heartbeat. But how I look at it is women are more likely to not go group with women than men are.
Yeah.
Men are more likely to do a bros before hoes, you know?
Oh, fuck, yes.
And I didn't bank on how many women, like, you know, support me or help me out, especially with this shit.
Well, the thing that's so ironic is you've been behind the scenes a voice for women for the past 4 years.
Anybody who knows me personally doesn't think that I fucking...
Yeah.
Unless you're a fucking scumbag. I mean,
anyone that knows you personally literally was like... Honestly, when this whole thing started, I think a bunch of us started texting each other like, hey, man, have you checked out what Kurt's into today? And it was just like that.
I had no idea it would go that slow news.
Because they attached it to Amy.
They attached it to Amy. Now, Amy shouldn't be kissing. She should have. Look, I should have. But I should have told her. She asked me. I didn't. This, you're talking about Amy. Where you're like, I hope it's not an insult. Look, this is not an insult. Amy did not crown herself the great vagina hope. Okay?
But I do think. In this whole thing, once again, I love Amy, but...
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about her status.
But, like, what's crazy is I think it's fucked with her a lot. Like, this whole crowning of being the next big vagina hope is
not fair to her.
It's not fair, and it bums me out.
Well, then they turn on her. See, this is partly backlash on her. Well, now we have a reason to fuck with her.
Yeah.
Because those feminists are not feminists. They're jealous. This is what I realized when I talked to Taco Truck. Taco Truck just thinks she should have my job. She paid 80 grand for a worthless... If you took gender studies, it was worthless. Intersectionality is nonsense.
Yeah.
Different people have different experiences. You paid 80 grand to learn that? When did you learn that a man twice your age might know more than you because he's lived more life? When did you get that lesson? Honey. Hey, Taco Truck. You got no business saying shit to a man twice your age who's been around.
Yeah.
Forget whether I use the right words or not. I know more than you. So if I condescend to you, it's because I know more.
Yeah.
This ain't sexism. You got to get past my fucking ageism before you even get near my... You know, you got to earn my respect before you even get the honor of my sexism. Okay? You think I give that out to just anybody? That's for grown women that I respect. It's not for children. Moronic children who've never worked a job and figured out they could do an endless GoFundMe. That's what that is. My girlfriend made that up. She's right. That's what this online activism is. Just an endless GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Pay me for my emotional labor. Oh, you think women bear the emotional labor? Is that right? Men don't bear emotional labor dealing with you. Is that what you thought? I thought we all just do that for each other because we need each other. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because believe me, even the ones, those open micers that were coming at me,
yeah,
they were mad because they want daddy to tell them they're funny. Okay? My friend, I don't want to fuck her up to say, but our mutual friend is a female comic. You know her. She stays at my place all the time. She's in New York.
Oh, yeah.
I really would tell you because I love that she said this, but I'm afraid somebody will be like, turn on her. But she goes, they literally just want a man to tell them they're funny. Deep down.
I love her, by the way, so much.
She's one of the dearest friends.
And I love her.
Honest to God, man. We don't bang.
She's just legit funny.
She is, man. I fucking really...
She said we did a project together, and the guy that was set us up, he's like, trust me, you guys get along. And I walked in. I rolled in with some...
It's
some,
Annie. Like, fuck it. It's Annie Letterman.
Legit, yeah. And she's... But I rolled in with some like preconceived notions of like how funny we should be. And dude... she blew me out of the water, and I was like, I was playing catch up the whole time, and I was giggling at her. And
I know.
Like, how do I fucking?
No,
like,
dude, I got along with her.
I love her, man.
I really love her immediately. I'm, we didn't fuck or nothing like that, and it's good because it's like I have a friend. Because then it's like I have a friend that's a woman that's got my back, where no one can say it's like, oh,
you can bounce ideas off of them and go like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Like, how far?
She's just a straight up dear friend, and I mean a friend like knows me. Like, no, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I got along with her immediately. But that's the thing. Those little clicks were never good to her. Okay?
No.
Even my ex got...
She's a Philly chick. There's no way that click's going to like her.
Yeah, because they're not about women. They're about a hierarchy that they control.
Yeah.
And that's why they want women in it. So they, and that's what all that shit is about. I'm going to be the head. I'm going to be the head bitch. And then you bitches listen to me. That's what they're thinking. Okay. And then they have the mantle of this is a woman's group. So how could it be bad? That's all you got to do, man, is wrap yourself in the flag of Jesus and now feminism. And whatever you do is good. Right?
It bummed me out when I saw female comics turning against you.
And well, which ones?
Well,
Cameron, I'll vocally say she stinks.
Who?
Cameron. That's who you're talking about?
No, that's not. Well, I definitely saw her turn against you, but yeah. It bummed me out because I was like, in my head, I'm like, you're a comic first.
Well, they don't know me. That's not anybody that knows me turning against me.
Yeah.
Nobody I know turned against me. It was somebody that doesn't know me.
But it was like, I never. I always side comic first. I always do.
Well, because you're funny. If you don't go comic first, you're not funny.
Always comic first, dude. Let me tell you something. Amy goes, and that shit goes down with her in Florida, and all my friends are from Florida, and they're all Trump supporters. Nah.
What happened?
Amy's team. Amy fucking pulled up a Trump supporter and fucking and berated him on stage. It didn't. I don't think it turned out the way she wanted it to turn out.
Oh, really?
Or maybe it did. Who knows? But immediately I'm on Amy's side. I don't give a fuck.
Of course.
And by the way, I don't give a fuck. My friends, their politics, and the guys I've known my whole life,
yeah,
I don't give a fuck. I support Amy because she made that happen. She was on stage. She's in the moment. She's trying to make funny happen first.
That's right.
And this is how it came out. And by the way,
fuck Trump and fuck you if you like him. What is this shit? We stick to jokes and save it. No, actually, why don't you just not vote because I'm more qualified because I'm smarter than you, dumb. Honest to God. I was fighting with these alt-right fucks before this shit came down.
Yeah.
There's no group that likes me because I don't like them.
Well, no, you just stand
comics.
By your opinion.
Yeah, well, because I don't give a fuck. Listen, I'm not ideological.
No.
Okay? Now, I used to say Trump was less bad than Ted Cruz. I used to be charmed by his bullshit myself.
Oh,
but then it dawned on me how fucking moronic that is. Because he's not a politician. You think that's... it's like saying you're funny because you're not a stand-up comedian. You don't know what... it just means he doesn't know... he's not qualified. And this is the age of the guy that doesn't know shit thinking he's able to do shit. So the guy that collects war memorabilia but has never been in the army. Or the guy thinks he's a cop but he's not a cop. Or the volunteer fireman.
Yeah.
Or the guy who thinks he's a stand-up but he's a troll. That guy. That's what Trump is a candidate of. Okay.
Yeah.
What it means is, by the way, make America great again just means make his name great again because he's considered a loser by the actual people that run the world.
Yeah.
He's not big. He's Queen's money. He's not like a rich guy, like run the world rich.
Yeah.
He ain't one of the lizard people. He's actually the little guy of rich people. And they look at him as a dipshit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what this is about for him. Is to make, see, I'm worth something. I'm the president. The other part is, he's not a racist, okay? I know people are like, oh, he's not a racist. He's charmed by your racism. He thinks that's adorable, and he's happy to let you fight it out for his amusement. But he himself is worse. He's a guy that thinks he's above all of it. Racism's for us, the peons, okay?
Yeah.
That implies he's in it with you for him to be racist. No, he ain't. He wanted to have a blacks versus whites apprenticed. He thought that would be really interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Now, racist doesn't seem as bad, does it? This fucking guy, fight for me, racist. Mm-hmm.
It is. That is an insight I've never heard. I've never thought about. Is that he doesn't? He's not racist. He loves that he can use that,
of course,
to connect
people
and go. Hey,
but because he's not a politician, he's not bright enough to make it work for him.
He's
the way
almost
they all
better
did.
Than all politicians. It's like a Hitler way. Like
he's
like,
worse.
Hitler really did that. I don't think Hitler hated Jews. I think he saw it as a mechanism to unite people to take over the country.
There's no way you could go that far unless you had something. He had some kind of problem, but it was common then.
I always heard that he was like part Jewish or something.
Look, when I compare Trump to Hitler, people, and I'm not this guy that throws Hitler. I haven't thrown Hitler at the last three presidents that were called Hitler, okay? And it's not that he personally is Hitler, okay? That's not what it is. He's a blank that people who would have voted for Hitler can project their hopes and dreams on. Right now, and this is not reality, but just if you look at the media, okay, which is not reality.
Yeah.
But it looks like if you're a stupid white man, you think that you're going extinct. That's what they think. They think we're going to be bred out of existence. All the dumb shit they say, okay? Because
by the way, this is all thoughts that are contrarian to all the people that hate you. All the people that hate you, these people, these feminists, would think that you would say, I'm pro-Trump, I'm pro-this.
They need me to be the made-up thing.
They need you to be something that you
just
aren't.
Well, they have a job. Look, their whole job is making up. Well, look, I didn't understand because I don't think I'm famous. I don't think I'm a huge. I mean, I'm broke as shit now. I ain't shit. But I didn't understand how these fucking people were looking at me. That taco truck person was fucking. This is honest to God. I go, I'm on the phone with her. And she was like, you know, demanding answers. I can't remember what I was saying about, like, you know, if you got low self-esteem and you don't understand how people are looking at you. She goes, you think I believe that? You work for Comedy Central. You write for Comedy Central. You're an Emmy Award winner. Now, I got to tell you, until this piece of shit said it that way, I never thought I was shit.
I'm going through that in therapy right now. Like, I've been on TV for seven years, and I was like, I still think I'm a piece of shit.
Right, and I didn't. So that was the thing, and it's really in self-indulgent, is what it is. I didn't realize how self-indulgent it is to hold on to that because it's a superstition of like you, once you think you're okay, it's all going to be taken away.
Yeah, that's
but it's not
I feel.
How shit works. It's made up, and you know, not that I had shit taken away, but that thinking is how I got this shitstorm on me. Not, I shouldn't even be speaking to a moron like that. Okay, I shouldn't be speaking to an imbecile like Sadie Doyle. They shouldn't even be allowed to address me, but because my low self-esteem, and you know, I treat women like equals. Now, equal doesn't mean you're better than me. It means I'll talk to you how I talk to someone. Now, if you think you're a piece of shit, what happens?
Yeah.
You talk to people like they're shit.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how Trump Barry was talking about this with me. That's how these people vote for Trump. They hate themselves. And Trump comes out and goes, this is Barry's line, not mine. Trump comes out and goes, you're all shit. And they go, finally, he's telling it like it is. You know? That's what they're charmed by,
that's
nonsense.
That's fucking insane.
That's why these dudes troll. I don't hate myself. I don't troll people.
I don't really. Yeah, I look at trolls.
There's
I know a famous guy who has a troll account.
Look, it's all identity politics now, okay? And these fucking upper-class twit women who fucking had a couple years of college think that they're black people. I've never been called a white male by white females so derisively. Ever. Are we in a separate race now, honey? I didn't know that happened. Oh, we're a different species now.
I can't stop enjoying you saying, referring to them as honey or sweetheart. It makes me giggle
it
so hard.
Him. I think Barry would say don't do that. But he's really trying to help me, man, you know, because I really got to learn how to talk to Gash better. I'm joking. It's a joke.
The point is, it makes me laugh. Yeah. And that's the whole point of comedy. Is like, and
no,
now, granted,
comedy is to give a voice to the marginalized. I saw a poster of some, it had to be someone from Portland, some comedian. I believe it's a comedian's responsibility to give a voice to marginalized people. I'm like, wow, I know, I've never heard of you, but I already know you're not funny.
Yeah. There's
no, your job is to get laughs out of your crowd.
By the way, equally on other sides, it's like, I don't want to watch a guy just go up and just be fucking, well, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't want a guy just go up to go and speak his voice about grab her by the pussy.
I don't generalize. My comedy, nobody's coming to me for my comedy.
By the way, the thing that's lost on all this is you are, without a doubt, undisputedly, one of the funniest comics any of us know.
It doesn't matter, though. That's the thing. You don't understand how low.
It's frustrating about this.
Dude, 20 years now I've been writing. Now, this is my fault for being doing these writing jobs, but I always needed the money.
Yeah.
I should have done like Stanhope and just been on the road building my audience.
You should have. By the way, and I will say this. You should have done like Stanhope.
I don't got a choice. I'm doing it now. So fine.
You need to disappear from the writing jobs. I think it's a travesty.
That's how I got stuck in it.
It bums me out it doesn't bum me out that Amy's successful, but it bums me out that the most brilliant guy I know.
Right.
Most of his thoughts are going to someone else.
Well, it bums me out now because that's the self-esteem thing. You don't realize.
I'll tell you, I've said the hardest I've ever laughed is me and you did Pete Holmes' podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was right after the Trayvon Martin stuff. And it wasn't a bit. You were just talking like.
Oh, I forgot about that
joke. It's so fucking funny. It's the hardest I've ever laughed.
The thing about where they put Martin Luther King in a hoodie.
They go, yeah.
Would you shoot him? I'm like, yeah, dude, they shot him in a goddamn Sunday church outfit. Of course they don't put a hood. Don't make Martin Luther King more shootable.
Yeah, more shootable.
They're dressing like Luke Cage.
They shot him in a suit. He was in a suit. I laughed so hard and I went, wow, man, I don't think like
but
that.
But that's, it's not a thing of thinking like anything. It's someone makes a thing. First I get nonsense sent to me, right, online. This touching image of MLK in a hoodie will really make you think.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm supposed to think about this, right? That's what you said to do when you sent me this. So now, okay, I'll think about it. Oh, this is real stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm supposed to just be emotionally moved and not think. So you're not telling me to think. You're telling me the opposite. In fact, you're going to be mad at me because I thought about it. And that's everyone. All the people who do this, woo, when it's time to make that noise
yes.
at an event, I want to make some noise. Woo! If you're one of them people, that's for you. That ain't for me. I don't do that shit.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm autistic. I was watching Jeff. I love Jim Jeffrey so much, dude.
He's the best.
And I was watching his hour, and he was talking about.
He's said, really fucking great, man.
I fucking love him, dude.
And if you have been slipping on Jim Jeffries, go watch. Man, my wife watched his special and was pissing herself, going, how come you didn't think of this?
And well, I
was
no, like, I've recommended it to friends, and
he's,
I've
Jim
had,
Jeffries
I had a friend tell me his wife. It was super misogynist. You know that bullshit? Now, you know, first of all, don't. I'm sick of that. No, you are a misogynist because you used misogynistic language. I went on your Facebook. You called Rihanna a stupid bitch 7 years ago on your Facebook. So you're a misogynist. You're going to have to explain. I'm sorry I don't understand your nonsense, but no, I'm not. Actually, I'm a huge supporter.
Yeah.
I'll be in love with you. If you're a woman who's funnier than me, I'll be in love with you.
Yeah,
okay?
If you're a woman that's just funny. Dude, one of my favorite comics yeah. ever is Andy Smith. She's yeah. just a funny comic. That's all. One of my just yeah. a funny comic. Yeah. Really cool. Really great.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, hates Amy Schumer and Nikki Glaser, who I also love.
Why?
Oh, so good, dude. It's real chick beef.
Is it chick beef?
It is, and it's.
Me don't say that about it. Probably isn't good for her, is it? To say
no,
that?
No, because she's it's fucking open. Just as funny as those ladies.
Yeah.
She's just as funny.
I
as
don't
any
hate
of us.
Them. I'm friends
she's just
with
as
them.
Funny as all of us. Like
right.
That's the truth. I'm doing
being
what,
open about who you don't like. It's a yeah. good way to fucking not be.
She, by the way, had beef with Jim Jeffries. Which
why?
I'll
ask you later.
Yeah, ask me later. But wait, so wait. You were saying before I cut you off, you were talking about. The comedy, like, that is kind of what bums me out about, is about your trajectory. The same way, like Rogan and Burr pulled me aside one night, and they were like, man, you got to stop doing Travel Channel. They're like, get back into stand-up. You're good at that. You're really good at that.
It's true. They'll pull you away.
It pulls you away, and you end up doing something for 7 years.
And you went through the same thing with Girl Code.
You don't even know it's 7 years, and then you're like, God damn it, I'm 43. I got to fucking do an hour. I haven't done an hour in, like...
I'm going to be 40 in May.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when do I get to do stand-up? Like, ever?
I mean, the
like,
last thing you did was White Precious, right?
Yeah, well, my new hour is way better now.
Dude, I cannot wait to see your new hour. So are you you're doing the road with Barry?
Yeah, we're setting it up now.
That you need to be on that Stanhope trajectory. And I say this, and I'm not even... Dude, look,
no, you know,
I
the
know
same
we're recording
dude that
this.
Helped Stanhope do it is actually helping me do that right now.
Who, Hennigan?
No, it wasn't Hennigan at first helping.
Oh, the first
guy. Rob,
but, like, the thing I say, and I'm not... I know we have microphones in our hands, but I'm not... Fucking around. You're one of the most important voices in stand-up. And I'm being serious.
Well, but that...
Because you're on both sides of the fence.
You know what? That's the thing. That's like... So it's funny because you like stand-up. You're saying it like that. But that's the same as being... I mean, that... You know what would be count for more if I was the most important voice in ventriloquism? Like stand-up... stand-up's the lowest rung. And nobody understands why... Like, that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now, Horace and Pete was fun. I really liked acting on that, but I wanted to be a fucking stand-up, okay?
The entire industry... What was the fucking rant you did on Horace and Pete that is, like, legit?
Well, that might be the one he wrote. Now, the thing that...
About Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, that's mine.
Hold on. So, real quick, if you have an opportunity... is it online? I bought the episodes.
Yeah, it's on
it's episode number
Pete.
Seven.
It's six or seven.
Six or seven, and it is the rant on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, that was cool. He let me do that. He was like, I don't like the lines. And Stephen Wright never heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Stephen Wright's the coolest dude, by the way.
Horace and Pete is Louis C.K.'s passion project.
Right.
I think he said he probably went broke doing it, but he bought...
He didn't go broke doing that shit.
I just saw, heard him on Marin.
I'm sure he didn't make money, though.
He didn't make money. He just put all his own money into it.
He just goes on the road and makes it back, but...
Yeah.
I mean, people were like, oh, I'm sorry I got canceled. I'm like, you don't understand. He made a thing that had an end, and it ended.
It was great.
And I'm looking at it as this amazing success, but the industry looks at it as a failure. They were like, oh, my God, if this does good, we're going to be fucked.
Oh, yeah.
So they were like, thank God we can call this a failure.
Yeah.
Because, God forbid, but he was doing a thing to make it.
It was not a failure.
Why can't
it
be a... Right, but I'm looking at it as an artist, not as a fucking banker.
You see? Not as like a sitcom guy who's like, hey man, I just want to be the neighbor that walks in and is like, what's up?
Listen, Kev, I really admire the shit out of Kev, but I don't admire him because I think he's funny to me. I admire that he's a businessman. I think he's the high end of shit everyone, you know, when everybody likes a thing?
Yeah.
He, to me, is the high end, okay?
Yeah.
Where I don't look at it and go, ugh.
He's Nike.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, is a fucking
There's a
mogul.
Lot of guys wearing Nike. But honestly, I really,
if he needs writing, he's gonna talk to me or somebody else that's a writer. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Not that he went to me for a couple things, but I'm not. I am in no way suggesting that I am the go-to guy of Kev. But you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I was always amazed at him because I was like, wow, I don't know how to do how he just did 20 things. I don't know how to do.
He's.
But I was not, again. I'm telling you, dude. I gotta really. All the greats of this shit of my lifetime pretty much have come to me to write something for them, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I never looked at it that
way. One of my most jealous moments in my life, I forget who this, who it was, but one of the, and you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to. I'll look at it if you want to edit it out.
What?
But one of the big things that you were like really good friends with Geraldo and Attell.
Oh, Patrice.
No, I thought Geraldo.
Jesse Joyce is really close to Geraldo. I was friendly with Geraldo,
but you partied with Geraldo at times, right?
Yeah.
And that is like, that for me was like.
Well, that was scary, man. I mean, Geraldo went. I never seen a guy go that hard. I mean, I just had never.
You know, man, I only saw the other side of it.
Yeah.
I saw the side where we'd have a few beers and chill and talk. And it was, I never saw him
deep. No, it sucks because even him going too hard, he was funny and cool.
Really?
And then if he's like, I think I'm gonna get more shit. We're like, come on, man. Like I remember telling like, take him home with you and make sure. And he's like, you know what, guys, I'm gonna get some more shit. It's like daylight, and we're like, we think we're about to die.
Really?
And he's like, I'm gonna get some more shit. And I'm like, yeah, dude, don't just come back with it. Like, nah, I'm getting some more. And he's letting you know there's nothing you can do to stop him.
Yeah.
And then he's off in the night, and I'm like, well, I hope Greg lives. And then I don't see him for a couple months, and then thank God he's alive.
I never knew him like that.
Well, I didn't either. It was just a couple nights I hung out with him like that.
Really?
You know, I wasn't ultra. Jesse's the guy that knows because Jesse was there for a lot.
Jesse wasn't partying though, right?
Jesse
never partied with him, right?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Jesse. He stopped drinking at one point. And I don't know how that coincided with Geraldo.
But like, Geraldo,
I drink. You know, I eat a lot, and I fucking. I'm lame now. I'm not into...
I said that when we started the podcast. I go, Kurt's having water. I'm having vodka.
Well, because I don't do coke like that. Like, I like doing coca ethylene when I was partying, right?
Yeah.
The drug you mix inside of your body. It wasn't coke. So if you're not doing either or, the other one sucks.
Yeah.
Or to me, I don't know. I feel it too hard if I drink. I don't like it.
One of the things that was, like, really cool is I talked to someone and I said... They're like, Kurt had a great night partying with Geraldo and someone,
yeah, but maybe sad. Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, it was. And then they said to you, and they're like, what was it? What did you think? And you're like, man, it's just comics being with comics. It's the same shit. It wasn't magical. It was just fucking comics being with comics.
Well, that's the magic of it, too. Is that you're fucking hang. You know, I've passed up getting laid to fucking. I remember a short thing of some hot ass girl from Scottsdale, and I hadn't met. It was before I knew Attell, and he just wanted to talk to me and hang out, and I was.
I fucking love Attell.
That's more important to me than anything in the world.
And it's because he's funny.
Yeah.
It literally is because he's
So you don't got to worry about any of your thing with your identity. If anyone tells you that it's because I'm a woman or what. Funny people are going to. When I was in the black rooms of all black people, you know who was fucking cool to me? The funny people.
Can you smoke in here?
Nope. Yeah, no, okay. I was going to say, let's take a break, but.
Okay.
JB Smoove. Always good, that guy to me. Always cool, you know, because he's fucking
JB
funny.
JB Smoove's funny as fuck.
Like Rob Staples. Every comic that was funny when I wasn't was good to me. You know what I mean? And didn't treat me like a fucking... Because that's how funny people are.
Yeah.
So no one's going to be that way to you. If someone's treating you that way, they're probably not that good. Now, you might think they're funny because they're ahead of you in the business.
Or they dress fancy.
But it turns out they're not.
Yeah.
They're just little, shitty little gatekeepers playing high school. And don't get sucked into that, man.
Yeah.
Ever go against funny to go with fucking politics. Now, Barry's interesting because I want the show we're doing when we go on tour.
I'm so fucking interested to see that, man.
Yeah, well, November 15th, the Village Underground is the next one we're doing.
Really?
Yeah, and it was the last one was like people couldn't even get in. I didn't realize how hard I was going to sell out. So
yeah.
We did another one. And then I'm going on the road to do it more with him.
Oh,
and he wants, so it's not just my hour. I'm going to do my hour, but also Barry's almost like, So I want to call him the feature. He's like my ambassador almost, let's say, to people that don't like me that are certainly would love him, especially politically.
Yeah.
And so he's going to bring me on, you know, whatever due time, bring me on.
It's a great marriage of two comics.
I call him Smarter Future Kurt. Because me and him clicked like crazy, man. We have a very similar thing, me and him. Especially with like an anger issue that people didn't know what the problem was. And all. Yeah. I mean, really, he's a guy that helped me.
He called in Race Wars. I listened to that Race Wars.
But he called me when the shit was happening and took a demon off my chest. I never, you know, and I thought I dealt with this shit, but I really hadn't. And yeah. Most men don't until they're in their late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. I didn't know. And I never thought I was in a cult. I didn't call Jehovah's Witnesses that. I didn't call him. That was, I'm blanking on his name too. He's my fucking good friend. Jerry Minor. You know Jerry?
Yeah.
Yes, he was a Jehovah's Witness like me.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. And
Jerry Minor's got a really great story about...
Yeah, and I knew he had a lot of anger. He probably had anger because people would probably mistake him for
Where's he now? What's he doing?
I don't know. He's in L.A. doing something.
Jerry Minor's really talented.
Yeah, he's great. And he's a good guy. And I knew he must be an ex-Jehovah because I can spot him like the Highlander.
Really?
Just the way he is, I could tell. You know?
Yeah.
Because one good thing about Jehovah's Witnesses, it was a brotherhood. There was no racial bullshit I saw. I mean, I'm sure it happened somewhere, but
yeah,
people were your brothers and sisters for real, okay? And it was none of that identity politics bullshit I went through. So me and him got it along immediately.
Really?
And I know people, especially if you're a black guy, and people mistake someone like Jerry for being, like, weak or, like, you know, all honkified or whatever the fuck you, or Uncle Tomish or whatever, whatever they say if you're not street.
Yeah.
Right? And not understanding, like, they don't even know the anger that motherfucker probably had in him his whole life. And so when he did stand-up, he told me he stopped because he had doing this crazy, angry, almost like Black Power shit.
Really?
And people were like, wow. And they didn't see that coming from him. And they didn't understand the rage inside you, you know? But I knew it. When I met him, I could tell. He wasn't no fucking Uncle Tom. Like, he's a fucking thoughtful dude.
Jerry Minor's got a great story about accidentally doing meth one night.
Oh, he told me that. He told
it's
me about
such
that.
Such a good fucking story.
I'm sure his angry side is scarier than a lot of fucking people's. Yeah. I promise you. Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't talk like a fucking idiot. Someone's going to fucking judge him some way. He's from fucking Flint, Michigan, man. You know?
Is he really?
Yeah, he's from a fucking... It's just he's worth something. That's why he doesn't come off like a fucking piece of shit, you know?
Go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Go smoke a cigarette. I'm gonna do a prologue so that everyone knows where we're at. I'll be out in a second. Okay. It is kind of cold out. It is. By the way, I'm having a fucking blast talking to Kurt. One of the things I love about Kurt is that he just is 100% honest. There's no bullshit about him. I'm full of shit because I kind of don't have an ability to be 100% honest sometimes because I've been in a corporate setting for so long that I kind of cut my tongue a little bit. But that's what I love about Kurt is that he tells you exactly what he feels. I so badly want jalapeno poppers right now. All right, so he's going to go take a piss. The batteries are looking fine. The audios are fine. I think we're all good. I hope we're recording on the right channels. And we'll be back. A word from your sponsor. The Machine airs 11:11 at 10 p.m. This is why it's so hard to do a podcast in New York. It's so hard to get people. Like it really is tough. What were we gonna say? We're back, everybody.
So Cameron Esposito, I've only met her one time in Montreal.
I've never met her. I did like her CISO show, Take My Wife, Please, but, you know.
Well, this is what happened. So I've said, hi, nice to meet you. That's like the most I've ever spoken to her.
Yeah.
So she tweets this, Kurt Metzger, I'm not afraid of you anymore.
That bothered me a little bit because it's, I mean, maybe I don't know her.
I know why you're afraid because someone will be like, yeah, I know you're not that funny, man. And maybe she could be. Hey, practice. Maybe you'll be funny. But holy shit! Now you're gonna You're going to do a little righteous pile-on? Really?
I didn't like that.
Because it's shitty, that's why.
I'm sure I've run into Cameron. I'm horrible with names. I'm horrible with memory. I didn't have any fucking shit with her.
I had no thing with her until she fucking said that shit.
And I watched their thing, and I tweeted out that I loved it, and I, hey, both of you.
Because there's a bunch of people that they live in fear of someone pointing out the Emperor has no clothes.
I liked their pilot, but then when I saw that tweet from her, I kind of bummed me out because I was like, in my head, I was like, Cameron, you're one of us. Understand that. I don't know. I just the perspective I always see is like, it's not gender first, it's not politics first, it's
but
comic
she's got,
first.
She's big because of that. That's her fucking look. That's what happened with Amy's show. This is what I'm saying about Amy. Like, Amy was like an eight-year comic when we did the pilot.
Yeah.
Okay, and then like a 10 or 12 years maybe.
10-year comic, I think.
Yeah, she's only a 10-year comic. So all that bullshit, she didn't steal any shit. She's a 10-year comic. Okay? Yeah. They crowned her the queen. She didn't crown herself that.
No, she didn't ask. I mean, she wanted it.
What are you
going to
not take the money and you're not going to take the shit when it comes?
If they said to me, Burr Christ, you're the next David Tell, you're the hardest drinking comic, I'll drink myself to a fucking grave.
look at how bad people were, because I was defending Leslie Jones when he's... Because this really upset me, man. These piece of shit trolls, the shit they did to Leslie. These are guys using Patrice's fucking picture as their troll identity.
They don't understand. Patrice is on Leslie's team first.
Well, that when I was like, that's kind of shitty what you just did. I'm not talking about the naked picture thing.
I didn't see any. I couldn't find them. I tried.
Well, the naked picture thing, honestly, what a shitty thing to do. But it's good for her ultimately, because there's no way to not be sympathetic towards her with that.
Yeah. I looked, but I was like, I couldn't find him. And then I was like, I'm not going to go hard. And I think.
Well, I don't have anything about, like, I will not look at those pictures of J Law's butthole.
Dude, if you put up naked pictures, I'm Googling them. I saw Brad Pitt's dick when I had to buy the magazine.
Yeah, nobody should be ashamed if their pictures get put out, because everybody has pictures.
No one should ever have to feel ashamed. Definitely got video of me jacking off.
Yeah.
Dude, you want to hear something crazy? Yeah. I was listening to the episode of Opie and Anthony today when Patrice passed, the day they found out he died. And you were on there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of us.
And I was watching it, and then porn came up. I started watching porn. I jerked off today with that audio playing in the background.
Yeah.
So if you saw the video from WikiLeaks, it's just me jacking off to you guys memorializing Patrice.
I think about that a lot, about what I just finally figured out, putting a Band-Aid over my camera of my laptop.
I got to fucking do something like that. But the Leslie Jones stuff.
But that's so shitty to do to somebody. But before that, they were calling her a gorilla and all that because of Ghostbusters. Remember that?
That bothers me. It's like...
Well, they're imbeciles. These imbeciles, they're mad at her. Is she supposed to say, oh, no, thank you? Some fucking piece of shit feels like his childhood's ruined because you allowed me to have a part. What's she gonna do? Not take the part? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the fuck are you to do that to her? Scumbags. And then somebody's like, "Oh, you're Patrice." Said like, I didn't understand what Patrice meant. I hung at the fucking Sheen roast. I was one of the last people to be around him. Like before he died.
I think you told me that you flew in. Super insecure about his set.
He flew in. I was there.
You were there already, and you met him in Marina Del Rey or something, right?
He told them to send me. Let me tell you what he did for me, man. And it took me this long since it happened.
By the way, all these fucking social justice warriors would have hated Patrice O'Neill, who is...
They did hate him.
Would have and did. But if he lived today,
they'd try to destroy him.
They'd try to destroy him. And he is the greatest comic voice of our generation.
He was amazing, dude.
So what were you saying? So
I was writing for the Sheen roast for a week. Now that was a stepping stone to because Jeselnik had done it the year before, and I wanted to be on the roast.
Yeah.
So that's how I.
My buddy John Moore wrote on that roast, and he said Kurt Metzger's.
I love that guy. Yeah.
He said Kurt Metzger's the funniest human being that's ever walked the planet.
I felt like a loser the whole time there because those guys were such. I mean, Mike Ferrucci and fucking Sebastiano.
Dude, those guys are murderers,
Chris. What's Chris
is one of Rogan's, known Rogan forever.
Chris, what's Chris's last name?
I forget. Right, he's bald.
He's fucking great.
He's one of the best.
The head writer, Ray, was a killer. I mean, these guys
are all fucking amazing.
They're demons at writing. So
they used to call Ray Little Attell. Yeah.
But Ray is a tremendous writer. I didn't feel, they weren't bad to me at all. But I felt out of place, and I felt like, and I got a surprising amount of shit on that roast.
Yeah.
But the whole time I felt like a loser there, and I felt very pressured and not that good. But they were not because of them; they were cool.
They all thought you were a genius. I think they were all threatened by you because you just rolled in and you like.
Not as much as I was threatened, man. I was way more threatened. But Chris helped me with that one joke. He gave me the because the one joke that I really love that Shatner did. about Charlie Sheen goes, hey, I knew another guy like you. He goes, he was kind to whores and always hung out with 12 losers. And the Jews crucified him, too. But Chris gave me
he was kind to whores.
Yeah, Chris gave me the line about he always hung out with 12 losers.
Yeah.
12 which made losers. The fucking joke.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and Shatner saying it's like, oh, like, he just did it. Like,
oh, yeah.
So... Fucking, so Patrice wouldn't talk to none of them, okay?
Really?
The way Patrice's shit was, it wasn't, he used to call it leaving room for the fun. He would never write his shit out completely. Even the jokes that are like planned jokes, he liked to have just it, the ideas and what the funny part is and leave it open so he can roll with the punches while he does it.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart how he is. And I kind of try to copy that. I try to kind of copy that from him, how I do my shit. Because him and Patel are like my fucking...
Dude, my two heroes too.
Right, so...
And by the way, I'm trying not to interrupt you because this is the most interesting thing I've heard in fucking 10 years.
So, fucking... it didn't occur to me what he was trying to do for me. So, so I have this job and I'm fucking very intimidated. And I know... So, you know how Patrice was, right? So,
yeah.
So, and there's like a weird thing again, like... Almost like a grudge... Of like writer versus comic, or not just comic. Like those guys are such great writers that if a celebrity comes and doesn't want to take jokes, and I really understand where the writers are coming from. I see both sides of them more than Patrice did, because
yes.
These guys are genius writers that are writing killer shit, and then people come in and don't want to use the jokes and they want to do their own thing that's not as good.
Ann Coulter,
right? Well, but Ann Coulter shouldn't have been there in the first place. I think that was shitty. Okay, not to blame the writers for that, but. Ann Coulter was brought in. That was because the situation bombed so famously that it's almost like there's a pinata spot to me now.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, this ought to be good.
Yeah.
You know? Now, especially now when you see Hillary Clinton campaigning about how Donald Trump called a woman fat who was, by the way, a pageant contestant. And then Hillary's like, little girls looking in. I hate that shit. Little girls looking in the mirror. Did he mean I'm fat?
Yeah.
No, he meant a person who voluntarily participated to be athletically not fat.
Yeah.
So they told Rocky to get his shit together, and she's Rocky. Okay? Complain all you want.
Rocky to get his shit together.
By the way, just you could choose not to be in a pageant, which is the most degrading. The only thing besides women who do pageants are pigs at the state fair. Okay?
Yeah.
So you volunteered to be an animal. Yeah. Okay, and put a blue ribbon. And I know you had your talent. You're going to play a little trombone for us.
Yeah.
And we're going to pretend that it takes away from the fact that this is a meat show.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a show for men. This is for you as a woman to show how you're better than other women. That's what this is. Okay? See, I humanize women. I don't degrade women. I humanize them.
I love that you've gotten off this story about Patrice.
Because it's part of it. Because Patrice is misunderstood.
100%.
But he didn't even have the words to understand what he was saying. I looked at women as equals.
Yep.
So you're an equal now. You're going to fucking do man work because you can. You're fully capable.
I look at gender equality,
yeah.
And I go, yeah, totally.
I saw Amy at the cellar doing man work, okay? And I go,
it's our job also. It's our job. Like maybe if we were
half the men aren't doing quote-unquote man work. Half the men aren't.
There are. They and I have viewpoints on the differences of race and gender in this business. I do believe there's an advantage to a white man when you hit the road. Like if they put your face up on a poster at a Funny Bone,
right.
There's a lot more people that will go see that show.
Not
knowing who you are.
Oh, man, you know, like, I haven't been on the road enough, so maybe you're right about that.
As opposed to like Roy Wood Jr., who people may not be super familiar with. Now they are. I use Roy, so I'm doing his podcast tomorrow.
I don't remember ever thinking black people aren't funny. I mean, Eddie Murphy was around when I was growing up.
What happens on the road, what happens in middle America, is that people will just go, oh, that's the Black Knight. And they
is that right?
Go. Yeah, they just.
Why the fuck aren't I out there? Amy did the work. I know Bonnie McFarlane is one of the funniest people I know. Annie's one of the funniest people I know.
Phenomenal.
Okay, these are people doing. So it's, you know, I'm saying man work, but it's not. It's something anybody could do who wants to do the actual thing.
It's just, they're doing the work. They're doing the fucking...
Well, the Christopher Hitchens article everybody got mad about because the title, Why Women Aren't Funny or whatever.
Yeah.
What he was saying, he didn't need that. That title's, I guess, is a grabber, but there's no reason for a woman to go do that job. Like, I did the job to, I guess, get laid. I don't know why I did it. I didn't want a job.
I have no fucking idea.
I didn't want
why
a day job,
it.
And I thought it was the only way I could get attention and whatever. So that's what the thing is. You don't need to be here, I guess. But the bottom line is, well, these women do need to be there. Like,
yeah.
You don't do comedy because you're going to work really hard. You need to do it.
Are you closing? Oh. Okay. Oh, I'll take one more. Yeah.
Thanks, brother. You need to do it. It's like an urge. It's not love. So I was telling my girl. My girlfriend's really funny, and she does it. She's on my show, Race Wars. She has her spinoff show,
Karen.
Crass to Mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, she's really funny. And by the way, she's really funny. She was really great on that episode.
Well, she's been writing for me for many years, yeah. and I'm like, same as how I'm doing for other people, and I'm like, I'm content to take your jokes, but
yeah.
Why are you afraid?
Why aren't you doing it?
And it's because she loves it. And so I'm like,
Go back to Patrice. By the way, and I have to say this. One of the biggest nuts I've ever cracked in my life was being friends with Patrice. Because he was not the nicest guy in the world.
He was the most honest, which people
think
that is cruelty.
He was the most honest, right. And when I was young, working the door at
Boston.
Being
unkind to yourself, and then you'd mistake it for cruelty.
Yes.
And then you realize you were bullshitting, and he was kind enough to...
be honest.
And, yeah.
Like, I remember him telling someone they should not do stand-up. And I was like, why would you ever tell someone that? And he's like, he shouldn't be doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but who's to say that? And he was like, I am. And I remember being like.
Who was it? Did they stop?
It was the guy, Andrew, who used to. So when I worked the door with Louis Schaefer, there was another guy named Andrew.
Mm.
And he worked the door also. I don't know whatever happened to him, but I think he stopped doing stand-up.
It worked.
But he.
Well, he rubbed people the wrong way a lot, we'll say, put it that way.
A lot.
In fact, the Sheen Roast, the red carpet thing, he hated those workaholics kids.
Really?
He hated them, yeah. Now, I like those dudes.
They're great.
But he just didn't like their whole...
Thank you very much.
I think he was judging them by their look, because he always hated a guy with a look.
Yeah.
So it's like, one has the curly hair, one has the short hair. The very defined, easy to put a label on thing.
He hated the workaholic kids? I can see how he could.
He didn't like the anti-interview and shit, like, you know, whatever. He didn't like white guy bullshit is what it was.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame him for, you know. I like it because I guess it's my fault of my whiteness. But that episode with D'Elia where he's the molester, workaholic, I thought it was the funniest shit. That's the funniest I've ever seen D'Elia be was that on that show.
Dude.
As Topher. Yeah. That's the one. I mean, that was one of the funniest fucking things I think I ever saw of anything.
Man, it was him
doing Topher. Okay, I'm telling you, that's the funniest thing he's ever done. It made me laugh so hard. It was hysterical.
It was such a great episode.
Yeah,
that was a cool pedophile. I was a fan of Workaholics when it came out.
Yeah,
but I knew Adam because he used to work at the Hollywood Improv.
Yeah, he's great on that show. I knew he was going to take off for me. That guy was like funny as shit on.
And those guys have like we used to run into them when we'd start production on Travel Channel. Yeah. We'd run into them wherever the fuck we were,
right.
Random as fuck. New Orleans, fucking Long Beach. And so, I've always been... I think Adam's fucking super talented.
Patrice didn't get sketch and improv type people.
He did not get sketch and improv people!
But Adam's at stand-up, not to take away from Adam. So when he was flying in... Now, the whole thing of the roast is like they want to have stuff in prompter. Okay? Any show you do.
Yeah,
of course. The producer's going to have a heart attack if he doesn't...
This panic of like...
They don't
believe we need your transcript.
Right. And you're like, and all of them, it's like they want their ass covered and they can't imagine. And if you're going off, now I watched when Patrice went on at the end. And he felt like they put him on at the end to fuck with him because that's a shitty spot, the end of a roast. And when he went off road, I mean, what he did was different than anybody. And I remember the boyfriend of, who's that redhead that does car commercial? She's from Grey's Anatomy, Kate something.
I don't know.
She was on the show. She had been on Drew Carey's show, and you know Kate something. Her boyfriend is a director, or I don't know if they're still together. But I remember when Patrice was on, he was like, "Wow, that was like really different and real." Like it was like a
she
knife
was on the
Charlie
Sheen
roast. Yeah,
oh,
and she'd fine, but she was a little buzzed, I think, and she had her own jokes. They hate that. They hate when somebody isn't going to do their jokes, and I get it because they're giving you genius shit. Now
they paid for all this shit. Why not use it?
Right now, I wanted to really be on the roast really bad. I don't now. Okay.
And it was Patrice that changed my fucking roast, though.
But here's how my mind got changed. It was from this night. That was my thing, man. I so much want to be on it.
Really?
Yeah. Roasts are not what they're supposed to be now. Now, Patrice's philosophy always was, these are fucking not good because it's supposed to be your friends that love you. A roast is supposed to be your friends being honest about you. Even if it's like a, maybe it's a thing, it's not true as the joke, it's still the honesty of...
It's what...
If
you have 2 seconds, definitely download the Opie and Anthony episode that Kurt is on where it's the day Patrice died.
I didn't even talk that much on the episode. I don't think
you were really funny. You did, but it was...
Did I bring it up? I don't remember. I got to listen to it.
It was a great... I listened to it today because I remember listening to it in a car ride. I found out he died. Frosty called me. And I was driving from Arizona to L.A.
By the way, Kevin Meaney, that sucks, dude. That guy was nice as shit. I really liked him.
A great fucking guy.
Like a good green room hang. I always... Like if you had a show and he's in the green room, it was going to be cool.
Yeah. That really bums me out. And 60 years old.
I didn't even know he's that old. He's great.
Well, 60 is young. I'm 43.
Well, remember he had that set forever, and then he came out of the closet, and all of a sudden he had new material because he wasn't living a lie no more. It was great. I was really happy for him.
Griffin. Sweet. Go back to
Who's bearding for who?
Fucking.
I always thought she was funny. By the way,
she's
She was
good. I love Kathy. I have a
moment. I don't know her, but I always thought she was very funny. So anyway, Patrice is flying in, and so I knew a lot of these comics on the show are my friends. Okay. Yeah.
So, who was on that roast?
Amy was.
Was that when she made the Steve-O joke?
Yeah. Steve-O was on. Steve-O was a guy that I think he had joke. I think Jay wrote some jokes for Steve-O.
Really?
Yeah. And Steve-O I like a lot, by the way. Yeah. Okay? But I hope LA is not getting to him and telling him he's already a finished headliner. Because when I met him, he wasn't. And he's never been cocky. Dude, I met him. Nick guy's never been cocky. Always been another guy. See him in a green room. Without knowing him, he's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I hear he is. I have not heard that he hasn't sold out one show. Like, he sold out every single show he's ever done.
So the unfortunate thing is, it validates you early when you're not there yet. Okay. So you know, but I say it for Steve-O, he has the courtesy, even if he's doing a joke that's not so great, he has the courtesy to squeeze lemon juice in his eyes after he tells it. I mean, you think Cameron Esposito is going to do that for you? No, you're going to have to sit there and go, oh, how clever for you to take a hacky lesbian insult that you would write 3 blogs about if another person said it. But you're going to say it like you're reclaiming it. Oh, good for you. You reclaimed hackery.
So with Cameron Esposito.
Hey, you're a Thundercat. Oh, I get it. Yeah, you are. Oh, that's great.
Would Cameron Esposito's act be more tolerable?
Hey, Cameron, that's...
If you squeeze lemon juice in her eye.
I think it'd be about 6 notches better. I'd like her lawfully wedded wife to do it. I would like her wife.
With me and Cameron Esposito. That's a funny premise.
Well, why did she say shit about me? Dude, I never did nothing to her. Listen, here's the thing. If she's going to be like, I'm not afraid of you. Dude, honestly, you know what I was going to do? But my girlfriend told me it was too mean.
What?
I was going to go, I'm really sorry to hear that because Cameron Esposito is really funny and talented. And my girlfriend goes, that's too mean. It's meaner to say she's great. She's fine. She's not bad.
But look, all I'll say about Cameron is that it bummed me out that she didn't side with comics first.
Look, once you get validated early, this is why she's dumb to do this, because comics are the ones that are going to be at... See, the industry's telling her she's the next big thing, but trust me on this. The same industry's also sick of her. Even now, believe you me, I don't even have to ask around. I already know it's like this. The industry's like, who's the most overrated comic right now?
You have one bad set, and they're ready to tell everyone you suck.
No, but listen, the same industry that made her the great lesbian hope is now... I promise you, like, oh, she's the most overrated comic there is, secretly, because they can't say it out loud.
And that's what sucks.
Wait, listen. Yeah. They're saying that secretly, when these are the ones that pushed her as the next greatest fucking thing in the first place. So now she's not, instead of siding with comics, she's doing, because she got validated too early. So she's...
How long has she been doing stand-up? Like,
it can't be long.
I don't know.
Not as long. I mean, if it's as long as me, then there's no hope, but I'm guessing it's not like 10 years maybe.
It's not as long as us. I mean, I've been doing it 17, 18.
So, yeah, I don't have a grudge against her.
I don't have any grudge.
I'd still be cool. Anyway, yes, I do. But I'd be cool to her and get past
it. I don't have any grudge against her.
It was shitty of her to do that.
It was in my head, in my opinion, and by the way, I don't mean to spew this negativity towards her. I don't want anyone to do anything at all other than check her shit out. Like, she is – she's made me laugh. I like that. Take my wife.
She did? Oh, is the show good?
Yeah, I like the show a lot.
Well, maybe the show's good.
Well, it got me – you know, I got on CISO. Stand Hope was on CISO, and I watched this.
Yeah.
And I watched her, too. I know her, too. And I went – and I don't know her, but I know.
I'm just talking about stand up, man. I'm just saying in terms
of
stand up.
Stand up, and so like, but like it bummed me out because the truth is, and you're very accurate about this, is that I've been in this industry a long time. I've been thrown to the wolves, and I've been brought into the fucking fire.
And why? As comics.
And let me tell you something. The one thing I have in this business that is the only thing I have is comics respect.
That's it.
Let me tell you something. Mattel, I was doing a show. I was doing a show. It was at comics at Mohegan Sun or whatever it is. And Kevin Hart, Sarah, and Margaret are doing a show. And Mattel texts me. He's like, "Hey man, give me your number. I'll try to stop by."
Yeah,
comic respect.
That's
and you know what it is? Is I man, I've seen Mattel take chances on stage. I could easily make a name for myself and go, "Dave Mattel was out of line tonight," or whatever.
Of course,
I would never. Man, I'm a comic, and let me tell you,
because it's a cheap cash out.
I've seen Margaret take chances on stage. I've seen Sarah take chances on stage. I've seen Zach. I've seen everyone in this business that you respect and love. I've seen them roll the dice on funny, and I would never. What I do is I respect them out.
Right. Well, luckily for Cameron, I ain't gonna really hold it against her. Now someone else might, but
that's what sucks about it. Is I go,
I'll get over it. But if she was that,
just don't do that. Just don't do that. Like
no, that was utterly stupid of her. Because comics are who you side with. You never fucking go industry against comics.
Like,
never
not trusting people.
Do you remember Margaret Cho when they're like she had a weird breakdown on stage at the Stress Factory?
Yes.
I go with Margaret Cho. Go fuck yourselves. You're lucky you saw. Yeah.
I'm a Margaret Cho.
Maybe she was going through. 100%. I don't know what it was. Maybe she's going through shit. Fuck you, pigeon. Dude.
Yeah.
I ain't taking your side over Margaret Cho.
How dare you think that? You think I'm going to side with some Jersey chick who decides to go, "Fuck you, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't belong up there." No, fuck that. I'm on Margaret Cho's
or some
team.
Dip. I've had fuck dudes do that, like, ugh, like Margaret Cho. And I'm like, dude, when you're as funny as her, you could talk that shit.
But I think that both of us feel the same way, is that we side with that as long as that the ulterior motive is to be funny. And Margaret was trying to be funny.
You do. I know. I'm funny. Whatever.
Agenda-based.
Yeah.
Sometimes that
it sucks. And I begged him. I mean, fucking, it disturbed me, man. Well, I never finished the Patrice story. So Patrice, so let me get that through this. So Patrice wanted to fucking not talk to the writers. He told them when they talked to all the comics coming in. Now I'm in the room, and they know I'm friends with all these people coming in. Okay, Jezelnik, all these people I know.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to come to me a little bit if somebody's difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's a stressful thing getting this thing ready.
Jeselnik, I love Jeselnik. I'm not talking shit about Jeselnik. Well, but I would imagine he would never take a joke from other people other than you.
He doesn't want to. Want to.
He's
maybe
a purist
did.
A little bit.
Yeah, but look, for a roast.
I'm a little bit of a purist too. I can understand.
On a roast, I'll take anything for anybody. I don't.
Really?
It's so ugly now how the roast. See, Patrice is against roasts that they do on Comedy Central because it's supposed to be your friends. Yeah. And Jeff's the one who kind of changed it. Now, Jeff's very good at roasting a stranger. I mean, he mastered that.
Yeah.
And he's the reason it's different.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's bad. This is just how shit happens where, and it's like, the people I like at Comedy Central aren't bad. It just shit happens when you try to commodify a thing.
Yeah.
So the thing Jeff did is special. And it's like, why don't we just make it like this all the time? And we'll have our hot picks of comedy be the roasters. Roasting people that, and then the person doesn't know who these comics are. They just know they're funny.
Yeah.
And it's going to be vicious.
Yeah.
But that's mean. Okay. For some reason, it's a roast. It's
Are you
not a
roast.
Roast
battle?
Well, that's the next thing. Like the
roast battle.
Yeah,
dirty.
The Negro Wave on roast battle is great. Do they not call him that no more?
No, that's what they call him. I think.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Gerard? Not Gerard.
Gerard Carmichael?
No. He sleeps on Gerard's couch.
I know who you're talking.
I had him open up for me in improv.
I gotta fucking edit this out because I know him very well.
I love that dude.
I know him very well, and I'm fucking blanking on his name right now. God,
I just had him open up for me.
God damn it.
He's funny, dude. He's on an album, too.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I'm blanking out because Gerard.
I'm hammered right now, by the way, everyone.
I know.
It'll come to me. Keep going.
Okay. But they're great because they're like, it gets so ugly.
It does.
Now it's
ugly.
People that hate each other trying to hurt each other. That's what it's gotten to.
Montreal?
We walked out. It was awful.
It was
brutal.
It was tough.
Except the Wave. Always original and funny.
Yeah.
And did something that erased the
and
ugliness.
And Ralphie got upset with him. He was like, "Get the fuck off stage." Because he was getting pissed.
It's ugly. And Patrice was not mean.
Yeah.
Okay? So Patrice was like, "This shit ain't right." And he fucking knew it was going to turn into this when it happened.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to, and now all the open micers want to battle each other. And they think that it decides who's better for all time. I'm undefeated, by the way. But who cares? I don't go in thinking I could win. Anybody can win that shit.
Oh, dude, that's why I won't do it. Is that you'll destroy me.
But I thought Jesse Joyce was going to destroy me. I was very surprised.
You did Jesse Joyce?
That was my first one,
Jesse's
yeah.
Jesse's a gangster ass.
That's who I go to for jokes.
Yeah.
I never dreamed I would win.
Yeah.
And I won on one of my own, too. I was surprised. But anyway, so Patrice didn't approve of that shit. He said yes to Charlie Sheen because he admired Charlie Sheen for telling the industry to fuck itself.
Yeah.
Just out of respect for Charlie Sheen saying, go fuck yourselves.
That's fucking great.
I know. And God bless him for that. Okay?
God bless him for that.
Now, with me, I know who was looking at it that way? They're like, what, is he crazy? Ooh, everyone's going to fucking, ooh, is he crazy to do that? Nah. Fuck the industry, okay? Fuck them.
Yeah.
They will fall in line the second you make. So that's why now I got to go on the road and make money like that so that they'll go kiss my ass again. They never liked me. It was only comics that brought me into shit. Except Joanne and Ann, I got to say. Comedy Central people after Joanne and Ann.
Comedy Central's always liked you. They've always respected you.
Yeah, I give it to them, man. But I'm just saying,
since
like, the hardship I had trying to get an agent or just so much like shit that's industry shit, it took quite a while.
This business is not about, it's changed so much. It's so much about, like, doing your own thing, and it's the Stanhope model. It really is.
There's more, it's changed because there's more opportunity now that I should have been taking instead of trying to go through this thing.
Dude.
Well, listen. So Patrice wouldn't talk to them. He's told the guy, I don't want a head writer. I don't want a smarmy white writer reading my notes.
Yeah.
Okay. And he goes, just send Kurt to my hotel room. I'll just talk to him. So they didn't like that. That was offensive to them. Now they weren't mad at me. We were working 12-hour days, man.
Yeah.
And then I have to go to his hotel room for another, God knows how long, with no sleep. And then we're shooting tomorrow. So they were like, man, you're doing a man's work today. That's crazy. You have to do that, like. You know, but meanwhile, I felt so pressured. It's not because of them. It was because I felt not good enough because everybody was good, and it felt like there was a meanness in the air.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a roast. You're trying to be mean. I don't know if it's supposed to be like that, man. I don't. Yeah. I think it's not. I think Patrice was right. But this is all people I like, and I'm not calling them evil or none of that shit. It's you don't need bad people to get together and make a thing that's ugly. It just happens when it's like money's involved and you know what I mean? It just corrupts everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad people, you know? So fucking, it was offensive. I saw Patrice and Ray must have had some words on the phone. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Because Ray's almost like a Patrice of writers where it's like he's pretty blunt.
He's really blunt.
It's funny, almost like they probably should have been friends.
They should have been friends.
Yeah.
And they would have been friends. And they were both in New York at the same time.
Yeah, because Ray is like a guy who's like a killer funny guy.
Ray
who's like
a gangster.
Hates bullshit. So they should have been like friends.
Ray sees the other side of it, which you see, which is a group of writers busting their ass all day long to write for people.
Well, you become a desk cop.
Yeah.
And it makes you mad. So I don't want to be a desk cop. I'm because I want to be on the fucking, I want to be on the goddamn stage. I want to write for these other people. I want it to be me. I got this for me. I don't give a shit that you have your fucking precious angel you picked and now you're going to use my words in their mouth. Industry, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Why isn't me doing it? Because they're like, well, we don't know. Like, I got to do it myself. It's fine. I'll do it myself.
That's the fucking...
But Patrice trying to tell me that. So he... You know why he did that? He said, send Kurt to my room? Because when he called ahead of time, before he talked to them, I sounded too scared, and it bothered him. Because I sounded like I had something to lose on the phone when I was talking... Because I was talking to him. I don't remember what I even said that made him upset. But you know how Patrice was. Whatever I was saying to him... The gist of it was like, look, dude, it was like, come on, dude, I know you don't give a shit about this, but this is a big opportunity for me. Don't make it awkward for me. The way I was talking was that. Like, no, I know it's bullshit, and you're right, but I need this, Patrice, and I'm not where you're at, and I can't, don't make it weird for me. Like, that's how I sounded.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't even know who I'm talking to right now. I think he made me call him back in a different way. He goes, I'm going to call you back in 10 minutes and just sound different when I call or something like that. That's not the Kurt I know. He was so upset.
The Kurt I know.
I didn't understand. He did this shit just for me. He pissed them off. Okay, now, I thought he was just doing it because that's how he was. He did that because I sounded scared of losing a job. And that's why he alienated them to show me fuck all of them. I believe. And I asked Jonathan Brandstein, his manager, because he was the guy in the room and we had the discussion. And I swear to God, he did that whole thing, and he would end up last. Now, I don't know if that was a thing like he thought, but he put himself in a weird position with everyone j- just
Holy
to
shit.
Teach me a lesson about don't you ever let these people intimidate you. Not that they are trying to, but you get intimidated on your, you intimidate yourself.
Dude, you get lost in the process.
Because this is a big break for you.
Oh, dude, we did a, me, him, and Louis Schaefer and Rich Voss and Ben Bailey did a Australian, not an Australian, a Edinburgh tour.
Yeah.
And we had to audition for it. We had to send a submitted tape to get accepted. And I had a set list in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was like 10 jokes. It was 15 minutes. I had to do 15 minutes. I don't think I'd ever done 15 minutes before. And I had it. It was on a stool in front of me at Caroline's. And I was like running through it. I'm like figuring it out. And he just grabbed and ripped it.
Yeah.
Because that's not who you are.
Right, yeah.
And I went, no. You just fucked me. And he goes, I didn't fuck you. Yeah. You know those jokes. Just go up and talk.
Right.
And when they come out, they come out. And when they don't come out, they don't come out.
Right. Well, that's true, but some of it is sometimes I'm just trying to work out a new bit and I have to have a thing.
Well, I was doing a straight set list.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's like, that's not who you are.
No, that's true, though. That isn't who you are. He was right about that.
He was one of the most, he was probably one of the most important people in my life.
Yeah.
Comedy, because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but he was not getting booked at the Cellar all the time. And he was not getting booked at the Boston Comedy Club.
He had pissed Manny off.
He pissed everybody off. So a lot of times he'd just hang out in front of the Boston Comedy Club and just bullshit.
I know. That's how it used to be.
Yeah, and I was like, so I got to him.
Everybody would come gather around his SUV. He'd just sit in it and everybody come to him.
It was him, Tony Woods, yeah. Donnell Rollins, like all these guys that I end up becoming like my biggest.
Yeah.
Like you, Big J, like the people I love yeah. the most in this business are the people that I just hung out at the thing. It's so funny to see Pete doing a show about the working the door at the Boston Comedy Club because it's so my life experience. Like, it's so what I lived, you
yeah.
know? And he was like, oh, that's how I got in this business. I was like, that's how we all got in it. I can't wait to see it.
Well, he used to like Kevin because Kevin's just a raw motherfucker. That's what he liked about. And Kevin was raw. He was.
Was Kevin like, hanging out there at that time?
Well, he was the first one to go through the whole ranks of the Cellar. And then, but Kev was just smart from the beginning.
Kevin,
business wise,
I wish I had his ego. I don't mean that in a negative way, but I wish I just had his belief in himself.
Well, you're not short enough, I think. You're not short and black enough. But Kev was dude, in the open mic, he was packing it out with his fans that just knew him from college at the Blazing Thursdays. But he was on point with, like, he was getting acting lessons when we were still fucking around.
Really?
He was moving to New York when we were fucking around. You know, the guy had his shit together. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, the business sense is like fucking, yeah, I wish I had business sense like that for sure, man.
I
specifically got into this because I don't give a, I don't want, you know, but on the other hand, that's not me. And I got into this because I want to not, I'm trying to be an artist, man. And whether it's stupid or not.
We got into it because we were broken and we wanted to show people our broken parts. Kevin was broken, but he wanted to like.
He's just short. It's not even a break. It's
his dad was a drug addict and.
Like he came out. Somebody trained him how to fucking win. Someone
God
trained
damn
him.
Damn it.
I think it was
I would
mom.
Love to have seen, been on that subway ride.
I don't know who the fuck trained him how to win, but that motherfucker's a winner. So Patrice goes, he brings me to his hotel. He lays this whole thing out. He goes, I don't ever want to hear you talk like that again. Like, he's like, my career's been over and done 7 times already. Okay. And he explained to me how this business, it's like a dragon's mouth that you're in. Okay. And you get comfy in it, and it could chomp you any fucking time. In fact, that's what a fucking Emmy is. I was thinking when I was at the Emmys watching Jill Soloway win for Transparent, the director of Transparent. And she had this whole speech. You might have seen it on blogs. Like, she was like, thank you. This is, you know, there was Louis' show that had where Louis Anderson won for playing a woman.
Yeah, for.
And then Jeffrey Tambor won. Now, these are both supposedly comedy shows, but one's the important one, right? That's Transparent. Yeah. And Jill Soloway's like, thank you, and these types of story. You know, all that feel-good shit that we're finally doing it for trans people. She goes, and dismantle the patriarchy, she says, waving the statue.
That bothered me.
Well, because she's first of all, the outfit she was wearing, I assume patriarchy is the store in the mall she shops at next to Chess King. Where are you going to get your fucking Doctor Who outfits, Jill, if they dismantle the patriarchy? Why are you dressed like, honest to God, a Batman villain? What are you gibbering about?
No, but that's like a dude.
Listen. Then Jeffrey Tambor gets on and goes, "Thank you, and please consider trans talent. If I could be the last cis man to play a trans person, I wouldn't be sad." Now just think of the, and everyone applauds. Now think of the, once again, this is Martin Luther King in a hoodie. Once again, okay? I'm supposed to, oh, what a wonderful. Now this is a bullshit Hollywood moment, okay? So she's holding the statue, waving. She's not going to get to dismantle the patriarchy. The patriarchy is allowing her to say that nonsense because it serves their purpose for now. Yeah. That's what that fucking Emmy is, a dragon's tooth.
It brings in more advertising.
Look at what the message of the Emmy is. It's a fucking figure holding up a globe. That's a wealthy man's fortunes that you now have in your hands. And the sharp part is to let you know if you stumble while holding this, it'll stab you in your throat at any moment. This awkward, it's like it's designed for you to trip and fall and stab yourself. Okay, that's the dragon's tooth. That's a dragon's tooth.
The dragon's tooth.
Okay, now maybe she felt empowered, but what they're saying is, here you go, bitch. You can have your little trophy, but take our message. You're holding our fortunes. If you ever fuck up, this thing will run right through your throat and you're done. So then Jeffrey Tambor, and he's a funny dude. I think he's great, but what a stupid speech. I mean, it's like Al Jolson. If I could be the last white man to play a black man, I wouldn't be sad. From now on, stop doing blackface.
When I get done.
Once I
wrap it up.
Once I play the role of a lifetime.
Guys, I got a beach house I got to pay for.
Now, I'm sure Jeffrey Tambor would just love the chance to act in this role. And why shouldn't he? Go fuck yourself. You can't play a different thing than you are. Who's making that rule up? People that don't act.
Yeah.
Dipshits that... See, this is the college campus nonsense trickling down. Because it's whatever's lefty I do is the mentality. Yeah. Oh, is that liberal? I do it. So now here we are back at the fucking roast, right? With Patrice telling me the roast is too mean. Okay? And telling me never be a fucking afraid of these people and never let them intimidate you and never let them make you not who you are. And that's what this Facebook thing for me is. Okay? Where, okay, fine, whatever. Everybody, I'm not going to not be how I am. You fuckers don't control
me. That's impossible.
And I don't give a flying fuck. As I said... If this industry is too fucking stupid to know it needs me more than I need it, I don't give a shit. I got an audience. I just made more money doing a door deal one night than I do on weekends with the fucking jobs my agent gets me, you know? So it's dawning on me that I was just being lazy and because I don't want to learn business, but I guess I have to.
Yeah.
That's nauseating. So whatever, man. Patrice has 4 hours. It's the best. I mean, I can't even tell you what that was like. And then he destroyed... Okay, I helped him arrange. Now he did a couple of my lines, but he went off script and did stuff we just.
Mike Tyson, I'm not comfortable with how comfortable white people are talking to you.
Yeah, that might. I can't remember if that was a thought. Some of this shit was stuff that was only half worked out.
Yeah.
That he just went rogue and decided to do. The guy in the teleprompter, prompter's going nuts. It almost like looked like smoke was going to come out of it because the guy's trying to go. That makes them crazy if you're not going off script.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Because they're afraid of something. But
I wrote my special on a stool. And I was like, I don't want to prompt.
No, Patrice shamed all of the crowd with what he did. It was amazing. They were all like, oh, yeah, we are fun. And he called it out because William Shatner isn't a racist.
Yeah.
It was, we've made the roast into what this is.
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't be a super funny, like a guy as funny as Ray James being as mean as he can about someone. It shouldn't be what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
His jokes are, there's nothing against him. His jokes are incredible. Like, I did not feel even a bit as good as any of those writers in there. Okay, so I'm not trying to be like, oh, there's something. It's not like that. It's a larger thing of what this business is. How it could just pull you in because you got a family to support. I get insurance from writing for people. That's how I got sucked in. I liked having health insurance. It's good fucking insurance.
Dude, you got to make $38,000, I think, on SAG to get health insurance.
I ain't this
year. You end up doing dick sucking roles just to get SAG.
Yeah, of course. So you know, fuck it. I don't give a shit.
Did you talk to him after the roast,
Patrice? Yeah, that was the last time I saw him.
Really?
Yeah.
Was the last time you saw him?
Was that the roast?
Last time I spoke to Patrice.
Yeah.
The last time I talked to Patrice was. He emailed me or something about my TV show, Birth Conqueror, and it was my he put it on Twitter too. It was one of the coolest things ever. I've been all of us hanging outside the doors of the comedy clubs appreciated him and what he did, and
he alienated the entire production to teach me a lesson that I don't have to be afraid of anybody. That's why he did that, and I didn't realize it for years until this shit happened, and I realized how much I got punked. Because I didn't do what he told me. I didn't think about how he told me. And I let myself get cowed. And I let myself worry about someone else's career more than mine.
Would you write for Schumer? You don't have to answer this. But would you?
I ain't writing for nobody.
Really? You're done?
Yeah. But, well,
write
Che.
For
Mike Che was the last dude I was going to write for because I respect the shit out of him, and he wanted me.
He's been out of the box a little bit.
Well, he stopped doing Facebook. I'm not giving shit out for free on Facebook no more. Out of low self-esteem to ingrates.
Yeah.
You know, great. You could pay. Listen, if you're on Race Wars, I'm going to be posting like I always did on the Patreon Race Wars subscription page.
Patreon.
So if you're a subscriber, right, yeah. So if you're a subscriber, then if you liked what I did, you could see me do it there. And I'm going, what? I ain't holding back like I used to neither.
Wait.
I'm kicking that shit up to 11.
So wait. So I'm going to let you go. We've done almost, I think.
Well, this is the last thing I want to say. So now back to Ann Coulter on there.
Okay.
So this is the evil to me and how it relates. This is why I realize when I do these podcasts and I just start and stop stories and my brain looks like In a Beautiful Mind when he went crazy and had yarn and thumbtacks on a map. That's what the inside of my head looks like now. Ann Coulter, it was so shitty, the shit that I saw. Pete Davidson's my friend or whatever. He goes, like at her.
Yeah.
It was so set up for her to lose, whether she took jokes or not. She's there for one reason, to be the heel for these fucking do-gooder Hollywood liberals in the crowd who think they're fucking one. The ones applauding Jill Soloway at the Emmys are in this crowd applauding Ann Coulter being told she is an abortion. She's ugly. She's not ugly. Right. A roast is where you tell people the truth. So now you're telling. I thought we don't do that to women.
Yeah.
I thought it doesn't matter who the woman is. We don't do that. We don't go. You're talk about a woman's appearance and lie.
Yeah.
You could see she has an eating disorder. Looking at her, why are you saying that to her? Yeah. Oh, because she thinks the wrong things. I hope she dies. She doesn't think right. And I'm watching this Hillary Clinton bullshit where it's a little girl. Am I fat? Yeah. But Ann Coulter, I'm watching the same people that think Hillary's great. Oh, bravo. She's an abortion. Tell her that. Tell her she's ugly again. Bravo. Isn't she a woman? No. Oh, she's not in your club. Because there is no woman. To take it back to the beginning, there is no woman's group. There's a clique. And you better do everything they say or you're out. Or you're not even you're an Uncle Tom of women if you don't.
Yeah.
And all the politeness and all that bullshit, that soccer injury. He called a woman a bitch. If you're a bitch, that's just you. That ain't all the women. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't do any jokes where I generalize. I don't go, women, something, something. I don't do that shit. Yeah. Okay? If I call you a name, I'm talking to you. I ain't talking. Women are fine. It's you that stinks, Sadie. No, you just have no talent. Women are fine. I'm not attacking women. I support women that have talent.
Yeah.
Not vicious fucking... borderline personalities that have made it their mission to try to make it so I can't pay my rent. That's literally her words. Why should he be allowed to pay his rent? Because I dared do a very clever joke on you that was lasted half a day and was harmless.
And that, by the way, that spun that chick out hardcore.
Well, I didn't know she was mentally ill and I never would have done it. She claims I'm a liar. I said this on Marin's show. Yeah. Okay, if I'm a liar, Sarah Doyle... Why is this article all about your fucking BD, you called it, written by you, and it appears to be written by you?
Yeah.
And how you were committed by your friends. And why are you telling people I choke and beat an ex, which never happened?
Yeah.
I can sue you for that. Now, I have your words that are proof that I'm not lying about you. Why are you lying about me? Because you need to ruin a man? I'm not your monster, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a human. Even though I have a penis and I am Caucasian, I apologize for the circumstance of my birth.
You didn't get to pick.
Because these no talents, beware of anyone like that that worries about identity over talent. That's the refuge of the untalented.
Really bums me out because I didn't like it. I didn't like it when dudes did it. Like when dudes did it and they were like, and they would just talk about sex and fucking and fuck a hump of stool. I'd be like, dude, I'm...
Well, it's just being a hack.
Yeah, I just want to see something original. Like, I want to know something original.
You could do any... Like, you could talk about your period. I don't give a shit. What do you have to say? Maybe it's interesting.
If you have an original point of view from anything, I want to hear it.
Only a person who doesn't get comedy says that no premises are hacky. Only punchlines. Okay? You got a joke about airline peanuts? Go ahead. What's the punchline? Maybe you found the last...
hacky is... Write that in your fucking joke book right now. Because that is a brilliant statement.
Anybody saying it to you doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. I'll listen to your twist. If you got some... Nikki Glaser had a joke I used to love about where she has her period and she gets tampons and rolls around in them like an indecent proposal. Like she just got $1 million when she gets free tampons. She had something like that I'm mangling, but it was very funny. Cameron, yours is so-so. You're, my body's coming out of my body. It's okay-ish. But it's not good. And I'm not saying it to be mean to you. I'm saying it's comic to comic. I don't even know. Like, listen, you maybe could be better than that, but don't listen to these people telling you that you're there.
I think, in my opinion, And this is
when Jay Leno told you you're the future, Cameron. What he meant was, I don't give a shit about comedy anymore because I got a castle filled with cars. So fuck it, whatever this crap is, let it be. That's what he meant. He wasn't passing you a torch. If you really want to help women and lesbians, why don't you be as funny as me? Just try it. Just try it. That's all I'm asking. Be as funny as me. Not everyone has to say you are because you're.
By the way.
Because Judy
right
Gold, lesbian who's hysterical. Jessica Kirsten, lesbian who's hysterical. Yep. Go through the fucking world of all the people you know that are lesbian, and they're just a little older than Cameron.
Yeah.
But now we've decided youth is somehow funnier.
The truth is, man, I've been doing stand-up 17 years, and I am not as funny as you. And that's,
I think you're pretty funny, man.
Well,
I don't know.
I think I'm pretty funny. I can do what I do.
We got our individual strengths, but I wouldn't tell you were less funny than me. I mean, it never came out of my mouth.
I would never sit up. All right. The last thing I want to talk about.
See, now I need actual people to say that and not comics.
Yeah.
Here's where I fucked up. You can't go just
no
for comics.
No comic will ever disagree.
Yeah, because comics don't pay to see you.
Kurt is fucking funnier than anyone I know.
Bert doesn't have to pay to see me, so who gives a shit if he's at... But she's like, I won't pay to watch comedy or for gun soda out of a gun, out of a soda gun. Those two things should be free. Comedy and
comedy.
Soda out of the soda gun.
Gun soda?
Yeah. That's my motto.
Oh, that's great. I want to talk to you, and we'll wrap this up. We've done.
Well, I'm waiting for my girl to meet me, so.
Oh, I can hang out. I have no ulterior motive. I want to suck the dick of Dave Attell, because I know we're both big fans.
Oh, he's the greatest, man.
Right?
I'm going to have to borrow money from him. He's one of the best dudes I ever met.
Like, just tell me some Attell stories. Like, just great Attell stories. Like, I'll tell you.
Dude, when we did Gong Show.
Yeah.
When they remade the Gong Show and he was the host.
Yeah.
It was so funny, man, because Attell, you know, he's such a, like. Now, Attell's a guy who doesn't want to take a joke, ultimately. Your job writing for him, and he will. He Ooh. Now, I've gotten him to take jokes for me, but the thing with Attell is you can't really write for him. You kind of. It felt like your job is to get him going so he can write much better shit than you would ever dream of. So that's to me the best I can do is spark his imagination.
Yeah.
Because he's so fucking funny and it's so like elegant and I mean it's like he's throwing
perfect.
It out and it's like his shit is like the minimum use of words and then the problem is you can't make
though?
Him what?
Does he bring that to the table like
he's always that. Listen, especially if you had him on a podcast right now, he'll fucking step it up. Like, he has this thing in him where once he's on with a bunch of comics, he'll be the funniest guy on the show. Okay?
Really?
If you're on a podcast with a bunch of comics, he will.
I've
it's not like, it doesn't
times.
Feel greedy. It's like, because he's entertaining you. But Attell is funny. Like, he's like so pure trying to be as funny as he can be.
Really?
And nothing but that. Like, he's trying to be the funniest he can be. Okay? And that's all he cares about. And so, what happens is, he's too funny for even... That's how like Gong Show was. Well, they had some problems from the beginning, but it's very hard because at a certain point you got to say, "Hey, it's done," and walk away.
Yeah.
And he'll want to keep making it better.
Yeah.
But at a certain point you got to let it be good enough for TV. Like he's too good for what TV is. He's like like Insomniac was perfect because it was just him on the spot doing his thing, and like we already got it too late. You can't cut it. It's like Attell's like thinking faster than all of us, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't ever look at Attell as not a success. Like, he's got, for some reason, the lowest self-esteem in the world.
Yeah, in a weird way, I attached to that when I was younger.
Me too.
And I was like, if you connect with that, then you're the best comic ever.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. That's his own thing.
But
he's a compulsive joke writer. And,
so then what's the difference between, like, let's like be candid, as fans of both of theirs, like, I'm a big Attell fan, and I'm a big Kevin Hart fan. But
well, you just gotta be yourself and what you do. I mean, I was copying off them to get to who I am, and not be them.
But I feel like
I want that joke writing skill. Attell's thing that's genius to me is the economy of words, which is all good writing to me. And he told me it's imagery. On the Gong Show we worked on it's he puts imagery in your head with very little words. Okay,
yeah.
And he paints a picture. There's a full-on circus going on in his head with clowns and something and clown farts and you know some crazy thing, and it's like candy and that's he's putting that in your head when he's doing jokes. Imagery. So create the image. That's why I learned from Mattel. Okay?
Wow.
Always, yeah. So Patrice was like, always leave room for fun, which is not being married to my... And Patrice used to admire the shit out of Mattel. Because he said people mistake him from being... And I certainly did mistake him for being an arm's length irony guy, but he's not. It's not. It's intimate what he does, even if it looks like... Because when you see Mattel, it's, if you're new, you're like, oh, if Mattel... I could just be like Mattel and I'll never have to feel Ms. Pain again. Because yeah. It's like no one can hurt him in the crowd ever. You can't hurt him.
Yeah.
You'll never... That's the thing, like, with the... You could never make fun of him better. I've watched people make fun of, like, his shirt playfully, and then Mattel will top you. He goes, really? I thought I was a man. What the fuck did he say? Like, I was a crazy veteran who, like, runs tours of this swamp now. Like, I might know these back swamps, but I'll never know a young girl's heart. He just... I'm totally mangling it, but the thing he said about himself based on the cargo shorts he had on was like he just told you a feature-length movie about an old man who lives on the bayou who has a daughter that he doesn't talk to and runs a family. But all that was packed into the imagery,
Jay one time, I go, sometimes when you watch him, you'll go, hey, what were you doing today? Like, and he goes, oh, I used to watch him, and his mom was passing at the time. And he was like, oh, clearly he's been driving back and forth on the long on the expressway. And that's where these jokes are coming from. It is a story to what he does.
But he's obsessed. He's obsessed. So that's what I have, an obsession. So that's the way I'm kind of alike. But I'm not like I'll never be as fucking.
You're definitely.
I'll never be like, dude, even to this day. But I like that. I don't want to be better than him. I mean, is it?
No, it's no.
Don't you want somebody to look up to? You know.
Let me tell you something. Skanks for the Memories is the greatest comedy album ever made, and I'll put it against.
I love it.
Everyone, it is my favorite.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
it is my favorite comedy album ever. And I.
By the way, Dark Horse, amazing hour on Netflix. Not Gary Goldman's not in this economy, but the one he made after, the newer Gary Goldman one. I think it's tremendous.
Is this the one he did the bit on
fonts?
What?
About fonts? Yes. Tremendous. Tremendous hour.
Gary Goldman is one of the most underrated comics around.
Well, because he's like a maniac, but he is...
He is a maniac.
But I love him, dude. I think he's great. That hour on there, and I know people don't know his name, it doesn't get pushed on, but that new hour he has on Netflix is fucking great.
What's it called again?
I don't know. It's Gary Goldman's new one. It's not in this economy.
It's on Netflix?
Go on Netflix and just find Gary Goldman's most recent hour. It's fantastic.
I got to watch that.
Yeah.
I wonder what Dane's doing right now. Like, where he's at.
I don't know, but I think that was shitty what would happen to him, too. These people blew him. Now, I never was against Dane Cook. When I'd see him live, he always made me laugh. I never hated his guts. But that's the hype machine. People
none
get sick of
you. None of us. Like, all of us were, I think... I mean, I'll speak collectively about me, Bobby, Patrice, like the guys that I knew that we were all like, wow, man, he fucking blew the fuck up.
Yeah.
But no one stopped liking him.
But then the back, like, I think when I saw Step Brothers, that was where it was like the next, it was, and then the thing with Louis, but Louis had him on his show, and it was kind of cool how Louis did.
Yeah.
Well, he let Dane Cook be like, come on, man, what the fuck was that? Like,
Louis would say, I've been in a situation very similar to that, and Louis would say, I think, probably he never wanted that to happen.
Right.
Although it did happen.
But this is what happened. Same thing with me doing what I think is a harmless prank, and then some piece of shit troll decides to put it on. Oh, I'm going to. Everybody wants to be in a mob, so dude. I can fight my battles. I don't need you assholes. Oh, I'm going to kick her in the ribs. Don't. Let me handle it because maybe it doesn't need that touch.
That happened to Lindy West.
Do people to this day think I have a thing with her, and I don't.
Ben, can I tell you something?
But you know why I like to say it? Because I'd rather she get credit than this piece of shit. Sarah Doyle. I like that Lindy's more well known than this scumbag, but I got nothing to do. I think she's silly. I got nothing against her. I thought she was wrong about a lot of shit. Nothing against her. People would go, are you mad at Kurt Metzger or something? On Twitter, they go on. Yeah. Like when I get an Emmy, they go to like taunt her. I don't ask people to do that shit. It's fucking vile, okay?
It's fucking insane. And I think, and I honestly, I've wanted Lindy on my podcast. Because she did that thing with Norton, and I was like, dude, fuck yeah. That's what this is about. It's not boys versus girls. It's opinions versus opinions. And like,
but they can't feel safe unless your opinion's not there. See, I don't feel safe means my ideas aren't safe. I know this from being religious. Yeah. You have to run away from things that might ruin your faith. So now they have been learning this fucking garbage that comes out. It's like critical race theory, third wave feminist garbage. They were told this by a academic who can't hack it in the real world. College is like, I don't know what you learn there now, but the rigor is gone for most of this shit. The popular things are, how do I take a complaining class?
To learn how to complain. How do I file a complaint?
Yeah. And then how do I, is my life a GoFundMe forever? Yeah, Karen was right. She's fucking funny shit.
How do I file a, Karen is funny as shit. I tweeted her during that, that when you, the first race wars you got.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I tweeted her, I was like, man, you fucking, that was fantastic.
Well, but the thing I wanted to have, though, because I, bottom line is I do want women to have fucking confidence. They should have it. There's a thing that's intrinsic to women where.
Well, you got mistaken for like a dude against women. That's not who you are.
Well, it's turf. Don't you understand? This is turf. So, because, and Barry explained a lot of this to me because he's the real deal. He helps people.
Yeah.
And so this shit is not a men versus, fuck. This shit's not, she's going to take forever.
Is that her?
Yeah. I just got to wait. Well, we'll wrap it up and I'll wait for her to show up. It's not a man, I want to get some food. It's not a man versus woman thing, this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny. In comedy, you don't make allies based on race or gender, no. Unless you're not funny.
No, I did. There's
your
not,
allies
there's
not are. Point oh, you're funny. I'm funny. We should watch each other's back.
I never looked at Patrice and went, "He's a black comic. I won't be friends with him."
Of course not. Nobody
fucking asinine.
So it's all the only people you see writing saying this stupid shit are people. Now, remember Cameron wrote her thing like it was like this tongue in cheek tips to male comics. It was the stupidest. It was the dumbest shit. Oh, you got to read it. It was like five something. It was just false premises and false fucking analogies. It's like it was the equivalent of, did you ever see these videos about catcalling where it's a woman going, "Hey, let me see your dick." And the man's like, "Stop it. Leave me alone." Like to teach you. Like Jamie Kilstein loves that. That's his.
Oh, that's the other thing I have to ask you about. So, keep going.
So that stupid shit, which is no such thing as that. If you wanted to do the analogy, it would be gay men aggressively hitting on a straight man.
Yeah.
To make them uncomfortable.
Right.
A woman going, "Show me a dick." No. Hey, knock it off. I mean, I is Portland that fucking twinkish? That
There's a lot of dudes that would just go, "You want to see it?"
It's pretty much everyone.
Every guy would be like.
But here's what I understand, because I was talking to all these like open mic type. When I get in these online, I was trying to get people on my show. That's how I get guests. Okay. I didn't realize there's a whole generation of little cream pies that can't fucking have their ideas challenged. I like to argue, and yeah. I don't hold it against you if you don't agree with me.
Yeah.
And also, you could make me think differently if you have a point, but don't come at me with moral authority. I already had enough of that shit.
Yeah.
And you sure as shit can't fucking shame me. I don't have I got that beat out of me when I was in my dumb cult, okay?
Yeah.
I don't. If I feel ashamed, it's because I... By the way, you can't shame anyone. That's a... Nonsense work. That's on. But like I said, on Feminist Happy Hour with Kurt Metzger and I don't know, Taco Truck Professor Taco. By the way, can I have some? Once again, can I have some credit for the restraint I showed?
I haven't heard it.
Okay. Well, if you listen, please listen to and don't say anything mean to her for God's sakes. But listen to me trying to talk to this Taco Truck Professor. But just the fact that I just held back. From when someone told me they're a hardcore feminist that works in a taco truck, the way I left that alone,
I find
you know the
so
jokes that want to come out of my mouth,
like,
out of my mouth.
Man, I can't believe that you did.
Of course, you work in a taco truck. I mean, can you believe I didn't take that ball and run with it? The hilarity of your hardcore feminist, like, "Oh, I work with tacos." I'll bet you do. And I just said nothing. I deserve a nice little pat on the head for that feminism. And by the way, if I'm not a feminist, how come when those pictures of Leslie Jones came out, I didn't look at them once?
I tried to find them. I couldn't find them.
I said that to Amy, and she goes, "Because you don't have Wi-Fi? You're still the kid." The joke was, all right.
So wait, Jamie Kilstein, did he come at you on this?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I knew him when we started.
You guys were close when you started.
No, we were close, but... I knew him from open mics. I liked him.
He was a nice guy. He
was going through
a
rough time.
Here's
the problem.
Jumped off the deep end a tad bit.
Because he's half a dude. So, unfortunately, like, you know, Jamie's probably spent his whole life, he's a dropout, okay?
Yeah.
He's been told he's, like, stupid and short. You know, he's probably
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been made to feel inferior his entire life.
Yeah.
And as a result, his personality is whoever he's dating. Yeah. Okay, so he's only half of him. The other half is whoever. So he's with that. What's her name? So that explains
Allison
all of it.
Kilstein.
Yeah, that's his. Yeah. That's his soul and heart is her, and he and she filled him up with her ideas because he was somebody who just wanted to be liked and accepted, and that he found a woman that did it for him.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know what him is. I don't know if I ever met him. I think I've only met like a little sliver of him, and then whoever was dating decides the rest.
Yeah, I know Jamie, and
he joined a cult. Here's what he did. Just like anybody, his cult was his girlfriend.
Like I'm not talking shit about Jamie, but I will say that I felt like when we hung out, I heard rhetoric first. Like I heard
of course
propaganda first, as
yes.
opposed to like
he's programmed.
Jamie. Like I never
he's a Stepford
seal.
He's a Stepford boyfriend.
Yeah, I never
or husband.
Seal. Like Hannibal, who I've known forever, I've never once seen any propaganda come out of him. It's just Hannibal. It's like when you hang out with him, he's just like that's who he is.
He found a market, okay? Because the people that were coming at me, okay, just look, consider this. Yeah. The people that were like now saying, I'm not good at comedy, okay, who are a lot. I'm not even in trouble for jokes. I'm in trouble for my Facebook yelling.
Yeah.
And by the way, the reason my language is so harsh because I lost my temper talking to an idiot blogger whose name I won't mention. One, because I promised her. Two, because she doesn't deserve a plug for me because she's one of the least talented human beings in the world and a moron. But she had a rough time in life. She had both her double mastectomy young. I'm sure she's been raped. She had some rough times.
Yeah.
Okay? So now she's a little bit of a Fruit Loop in her brain. So fine. Okay, I get it. I can forgive her. But what a moron. I mean, just what a moron. That victim of Aaron.
I love that you don't go, I won't mention her name, but you, every discernible figure.
Oh, you mean like the old Cale Hartman?
The old Cale Hartman.
Where we don't.
That one?
Yeah. By the way,
that's Sam Morrell's girlfriend.
No, he broke up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know Sam's the one that got her to go report it.
Yeah, the person that you guys.
Oh, he was the big one giving her the strength to do all that.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? No, women are brave and they don't need men.
They really broke up? Oh, that bums me out.
I don't know. You know what? Don't put that.
No,
I don't know if they did. I have no clue. It's none of my business. But this shit's bullshit. With Cosby, I got it. Then the next one, I'm like, oh, we need even less evidence. And now that it came down to, pass it on. He's officially guilty. Nah, you ain't. That affects every. That is my business, actually. Because that could happen to somebody that didn't. One innocent is too many. Sorry. One is too many. And I'm not going to put myself, volunteer to be a second-class citizen because you think it empowers you. Go fuck yourself, okay? I'm not on board.
I said to my wife when this went down, I said, let me tell you something. If something comes out about me that's not true, I want Kurt in my corner.
Well, that guy, by the way, never hasn't said a word of thanks, nothing. Let me take all his heat. He's probably going to make money off of this.
Yeah.
By the way, you dum-dums online. I can't believe it. You probably don't even remember his name. I bet you this. Half the people who heard the story just know my name, don't even know the name of the rapist.
I don't know that guy.
Because these imbeciles.
I don't know that guy's name, and I know his name. I know that I Googled it, and
because
I don't remember his name.
This is what this structural nonsense, you know how like you have to talk about structural racism, and it's the structure. You've heard this shit?
Yeah.
They do it to everything. No, Kurt's more important than the rapist. The rape
that's
in front of you.
Ridiculous.
No, because it's the patriarchy. Because here's what these losers do. They're not good on their own. Much like Jamie on his own isn't good.
Yeah.
So they have to glom on and form a gang. That's
Jamie
how they feel.
Jamie lost me when he did that Rogan shit.
Well, that's how they feel strong.
Joke Rogan shit. I was like, dude, you're painting both sides of the fence. And that's not cool.
His audience wants that. And by the way, his audience is who...
But that's fucks up.
Who wanted Barry to get me.
I go back to the thing where I go, Jamie, man, you're a comic, man. We hung out in Amsterdam. You don't... So you're telling me you don't have my back for every... Like,
no, he doesn't.
I don't get to make the chance of making a joke, coming up with an idea.
Because he never would. No, propaganda first. See, they believe...
That breaks my heart. And I go, fuck, I got to write
you
off.
They think comedy is propaganda. Okay? That's like... Basically, they think they're teachers. And look, my whole life I've been getting sent in the principal's office. That's what this shit was.
Yeah.
And it's just as meaningless and just as much of not an impact on my life ultimately, even though it was pretty shitty when it happened. And everybody that did it to me is a fucking animal. But well, it's fine. I forgive yous all. I just don't glum. I don't join mobs. But that's
that
what that is. The
principal.
I'm a class clown. I ain't a teacher. I'm here to disrupt your class. And Jamie thought, I'm teaching class right now. You see, I learned about intersectionality, and they think they're going to teach that nonsense to a grown man who's lived a life. And they're going to point at you because you don't know their little made-up newspeak, which is all cult war. It's all cult language.
That bums me out.
Like, I'm not a... I don't know what the fuck a rape apologist is. I know it's a shitty little word you made to show us and them.
What is a rape apologist?
Couldn't tell you.
Is that someone who rapes people and says he's sorry?
No, it's like you love rape. I don't know. You should put a system of... Basically, if I'm not on top all the time, then it's something that a very weak, stupid person made up that a lot of other stupid people glommed onto.
Fucking ridiculous, man.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know rape. Now, look, if you find comfort in that shit, now, just to be fair, some of them, I'm sure, a lot of them, not a lot, but I know quite a few have been victimized in some way. Yeah. And this is a source of comfort for them. So I don't even want to down your gibberish too much, but the fact that you're so intolerant of what comforts me when I'm also a victim of shit,
yeah,
and I need comedy to get through my day, and we can't both have our thing, I have to be.
It's one of the things, it's like we thought we were going to have to put our dog down, and I was watching Geraldo's special, and I was just, it just was on, and I was like, And I was on the treadmill and I was watching it. And he made a joke. I don't remember the joke, but it made me laugh. And I went, oh, fuck, I haven't laughed all day today. And right. I was like, oh, that's really cool. That's the point of comedy. It's right. Not to fucking serve your purpose.
Did anybody not ring? No, people never read Stranger in a Strange Land, which where the guy is from Mars and he figures out the meaning of comedy.
No.
Because he's watching like something like rocks fall on some monkey's head in the zoo. He goes, comedy's not for good things. It's because shit sucks. Nothing's funny. You're going to go, rape isn't funny. Of course it's not funny. What are you, an idiot? Who said it was funny? It's one of the least funny things on the planet. In fact, nothing is funny. Yeah. Everything's a misery all day long, especially talking to people like you. Not you, but you're Jamie Kilstein's. That's a nightmare too, okay? That's why you make jokes. So that's why the jokes don't have to have a moral. They just have to be funny, okay? This is my outlet. And don't tell me... But Colin Quinn told me it best. He goes, they want to wipe. They got a grudge. Don't tell me you're better than me when you've created like a pinata class that's okay to say whatever you want about and everyone else is a protected species on a reservation you made up in your feverish little brain. I'm not buying into it. That's punching down. If you believe in that concept, you're a moron, okay? And you're not a good person like you think you are. Well, that's punching down. Okay, yeah. So let me get this straight. You've created a hierarchy of privilege in your mind that you're on top of.
Yes.
And so a homeless person, you wouldn't make a joke of at their expense because you're openly saying they're beneath you. I won't punch down at him. Oh, so he's beneath you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you think? You sack of shit? And you're going to tell me you have the conscience when I treat people like equals and I don't play your little merry-go-round of fucking identity politics? All women are my equal. I don't defer or I talk to you like I humanize people. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, all the bullshit, this pop feminist horse shit now, every woman is a model. Every woman is an engineer and a model. At Dove, we think every woman's a nuclear scientist.
Dove.
No matter how Puerto Rican. Yeah, I said it. That's a joke. I didn't mean it. It's a joke, morons. They fucking made Amy apologize and she did. Remember she goes, I used to date Latin men, but now I used to date Puerto Ricans, but now I prefer consensual. That's just a funny little joke.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, it's just
it
a joke.
It literally is just a joke.
But she's a white woman and privilege. If you think that way, I don't want you. I mean, you'll grow out of it. The reason you think that way is because nothing really bad happened to you and you went to college and mommy and daddy paid, okay? Or you went for free. Yeah. In fact, I've never had a black person ever tell me I was co-opting. You know, when I said I'm trying to answer this feminist online, like you called Rihanna a bitch like 7 years ago. I called her a dumb bitch. And I really was like, well, you got to understand who I hang out with. It's like kind of a black. I really, you know, maybe I should have put it in those words, but it was I'm hanging out with black people. I'm like, oh, you were co-opting the black experience. No one black has ever said that to me. Yeah. Only dippy white women. And I don't call them. I don't say girl. I say women.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you off the hook by calling you a girl. You're an adult who should know better than to be this stupid. You ever tell a grown man how the hell he can talk? Until you've been through what I went through, you don't tell me shit, okay? Unless you've done more than me. Now, any woman who's done something better than me or accomplishment or whatever, I'll be glad to listen to you. But if all you did was go to college and take a complaining class, I ain't your daddy. You ain't got shit to say to me or advice. You sure as shit don't tell me how to be funny, okay? You don't do what I do. I'm not laying this on the feet of online feminists. This is what men do too. All those right wing trolls. I don't like none of yous. You know, they all think they can do your job and tell you how. Don't you tell me who stole jokes, okay?
Yeah.
You know nothing. Is that because Trump's going to make it? It's the year of the know nothing. Is that what that is? This is the year of the know nothing telling you your business. That's what this is.
That is.
Yeah. Well, I call you pigeons. So a civilian was too good. Pigeon is, I was on Facebook allowing you to look at my diary because I'm an honest person. Okay?
For free,
I'm letting you look inside my head. And then what do? Eat my free crumbs I fed you, like the fat pigeons you are, and then shit all over me. And it's all white shit. That's what internet, that's what online social justice is. The whitest shit of all. Even if you're black, you're white doing that. Because no real, you come hang out with who I hang out with. And that's why these alt-right guys are stupid with this white identity bullshit they're trying to do. You seen this shit?
No.
Oh. The trolls online are basically Nazis who claim they're not.
Really?
Yeah, like they're just creating balance because the lefties are too far.
Yeah.
So they're going to just say racist, evil shit, and somehow it's...
Well,
basically what happened is...
Joey Salads.
I said this before. on Race Wars. It's like, if, let's say patriarchy's Iraq. I don't know who Saddam is of it, but whoever they think they're toppling, it's as dumb as the U.S. going to Iraq. We're going to be greeted as liberators. And all these young, there's all these young white dudes, and now that it's all identity politics, their identity of being a white male, just in the media, not in reality. Sure, in reality, it's mostly white men. But people watch TV, and all they hear is they're the devil all day.
Yeah.
From white people. Same, black people have never been really mean to me that I can remember. It's mostly all just been white people. So basically, their identity of just being a young white male is it's like the money in the Weimar Republic before Hitler came to power. Like they've got a wheelbarrow of their worthless identity that they can't get anything for, and they're getting angry. And what do people do when they get like that? They elect Hitler. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tempted to vote for Trump just because I feel like a lot of people need to have some real problems real quick.
Yeah.
Since they have time to waste on my Facebook. Everyone's on Facebook. Everyone's on Facebook doing what I did. Yeah. Speaking their fucking dumb ideas about whatever. Why does it matter what I say? Oh, because I'm fucking better than most of the people. I should have been charging. That's my main crime, doing it for free.
Is that you're right, is that it is this, there is this perspective of like, it would be nice to have everyone to have real problems again, where as opposed to these imaginary problems.
Children who just run their mouths at that grown folks. You don't talk to me that way.
Being afraid of a nuclear war.
Well, none of these kids, they don't fucking, they're only afraid
of... No real problem.
The only thing they're afraid of is privilege, because they were so privileged they got to go to a school that teaches that gibberish. What nonsense. And by the way, I even agree. By the way, I'm not even arguing that it's better to be born white or any of that shit.
Yeah.
But don't take privilege and decide there's such a thing as white privilege. There's not. There's privilege, okay?
There's definitely privilege.
But unless we all
Puff
get
Daddy's
it,
kids got the same privilege.
Yeah,
I have
unless we all get it, you can't say it's that, and it's not useful. Nato Green, he used to write for Kamau Belt, said a very. He goes, it's a very unuseful term. You're not going to tell people in this economy who lost their jobs and shit that they're privileged.
Yeah,
they're going to go fuck yourself, and then they're going to go, well, if that's how you feel about me, fuck your whole family. I care about mine. See, now everybody wants to break up into little tribes, and these dipshits on the left think it's not racism to do basically Nazi shit, and it is racism. You can actually be brown and racist.
Yeah.
Only white people can be racist. On whose authority?
No, you can be racist.
No, you don't understand. Only white people. No, okay, I'll be the other person. No, only white people. You see, you have to only talk about structural. No, there's actual individual, too. What are structures made out of, dipshit? They're made out of individuals.
Yeah.
That's how, they want to make it always the group so they can assign blame and never take blame for anything they do. It's the most transparent shit in the world from people who are just utterly beneath you as a comedian, and they're outraged because they need you to do this identity bullshit. You go, no, address me as a woman of color first before my name. No, you go, yeah, your highness, suck a dick. I don't give a fuck what you're dumb. I'm going to call you Sheila or whatever the fuck your name is, and not the made up one you told me. And we're going to go from there because you ain't going to hide behind your identity. Right? You're not going to take refuge. But I'm a woman of color and everything. Nah, if what you said is stupid, then you're stupid. And I don't give a fuck what you... dippy little superhero costume is.
And it'll be that way in 20 years, but you take the brunt of the fucking...
Well, unfortunately, now, the other side, the alt-right, they call themselves, yeah. They decided to do it with white identity. If you thought this was gross, the identity politics, yeah. Imagine young white dudes, I'm proud to be white. Shut the fuck up. That's how you fight them? By being as shitty as they are? You suck. I'm just old, that's all. That's the bottom line. But people come see me, I'm sure. I'm going to be in San Diego. Catch me at the Great American Comedy Company.
Are you in San Diego?
Yeah, this Thursday through Saturday.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
this week?
Yeah, American Comedy Company.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Does this not come out yet? Or when's this come out?
No, it comes out in 2 days. It'll be perfect.
Oh, that's rad.
Guys, you have to come out and see him. I'll promote it at the beginning of the
podcast. Yeah, I'm doing my new hour. It's called Kurt Metzger, You're Making It Worse. I don't have Barry with me because I booked this before that.
You're Making It Worse. I love
yeah.
it.
And then,
you'll do fantastic.
If you live in New York, November 15th, I'm at the Village Underground. Now, here's how the show's going to go. Barry's going to open. He's almost like my ambassador. Okay.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's great on me. Guy. He does great. And he intros me. Then I'm going to do my hour. Then he's coming back up and he's going to judge my fucking shit and I have to defend it to him. You know, because he's an old communist.
I love it.
But he's a guy who thought about his position, so I respect him.
Oh, Barry Crimmins is the gold standard in comedy.
If he has a Che Guevara shirt on, he earned that shit. He's not like you punks, you little Occupy Wall Street. We're going to make hand signals instead of talking. That's why I didn't do anything more. You know what? Fucking, I got an argument about this. The Stanhope was right. Have some leaders next time, morons. Judah Finley's like, yeah, but now we've got people, it started a conversation. Now all the politicians talk about income inequality. Yeah, but what did they do about it? Yeah. I know they talked about it. What the fuck are they doing about it? It's once again all talk and hashtags.
Have you partied with Stanhope yet?
Never partied with him, no, but I like him a lot.
Oh, that's what needs to happen next.
I hung out with him at this. He was a fucking,
the best. So I'm going to be on your podcast, I think.
Wednesday on Race Wars.
Yeah, Race Wars.
Yeah, Wednesday.
I think it works out perfectly. I got to do.
It's you and Lisa Traeger. You know Lisa? No. Oh, you're going to like her, dude. She's a friend of me and Annie, too.
I do. You shoot her to XM, right?
No, now it's Pakistan. So Opie and Jim broke up, so now all his channels gone. But
I'm doing something that day. Oh, I'm doing Unmasked.
What's that?
With Ron Bennington.
Oh, I love Ron.
Doing Unmasked with Ron Bennington at 5.
Yeah.
I think it should last an hour.
Yeah.
Till 6, and then you guys are there, and then I'm doing Bobby down at the Cellar.
We'll do us before Bobby.
No, Bobby's at the end of the night. He's like at 9:30.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So it'll be perfect. All right. Guys, follow. What's your website?
I have to fucking make one. Ari Shaffir goes, dude, how do you... He goes, how do you not have a website in 2016? I'm like, what? You're saying this to me on a flip phone, Ari.
Yeah, I know.
But he's right.
People find you on tour.
Facebook and Twitter, you can go on for dates. Okay. And then if you're a subscriber to Race Wars, I'm going to be doing all my posting and shit on that.
Okay.
And
on Facebook.
My formerly what I did on Facebook... is now
Patreon.
Yeah, because, and by the way, it's like $3 the subscription, $3 a month, and I figure it's not even that I think it's worth, and I had to lower it. I delete it because I didn't want you to have to pay the $5 membership to see it, because it ain't worth that. But if you're gonna try to trash me and make up lies about me, I want you to have to be a subscriber.
Yeah,
that's
pay
all
$3.
Yeah, you could pay $3 and then go ahead, I don't care. But they never will, because these children think everything should be free. It's not good and there wasn't enough of it. That's their fucking motto. I hate it, and there wasn't enough. Yeah,
I
little
tell you
shitheads.
When I say this,
don't talk to me about privilege, you little pussies.
He is. I believe this, and I'm not even joking. You're the most important comic working right now.
Well, I'm very problematic.
When you put on an hour, we all watch it.
Really? I can't imagine.
Oh, 100%, man.
Well, the ratings did not reflect that. As I said,
just the comics,
Yeah, and that's how I got a rating of a 10,000 share.
We love you, man. You're the best.
What's most important is that Bert Kreischer loves me.
But dude, you know this. I said this to you.
Yeah, dude. I've been friends with you forever.
You're one of my favorite human beings.
You too, brother.
You really are.
I remember I had to call you because Annie told me a story and I was so outraged that someone wasn't pro Bert Kreischer.
Yeah. Oh, fucking.
And it validated everything I ever thought.
Yeah.
I knew this guy was a dummy.
I can't believe how fucking hammered I am right now.
Yeah, just because.
I stopped drinking. All right.
Hi, buddy.
You, brother.
You too, man.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.